WMMS.com/rules. Dumb down your smart device with Rover's Morning Glory. Tell it to play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio. This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
Backed up for some reason.
Doogie.
Don't touch it!
Dieter. Charlie.
Compare your wife to a toilet.
And Jeffrey.
I don't know what to say.
Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
Excuse me. I'm out of my routine because I'll tell you in a second. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here. Yo. You're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER is the number. 866-967-6837. Give us a call at that number. You can text us at that number. That comes into the studio in real time. You can tweet us. Just put at Rover Radio somewhere in your tweet. That also comes into the studio in real time. But the best way, give us a call, 866-967-6837. I was out of my routine because yesterday I took the radio station van to go move some stuff, and then I took it home, and it was in the driveway, and I told my wife last night, I was getting ready to come to bed like at midnight, and I said, I'm going to go move the van into the garage, because it gets so cold at night, you know, and she goes, oh, well, I moved the car in, so there's no room for it. I said, all right, well, I'll just leave it out there, I guess. And then I left it out there. I get out, and the windows were all frosted up. I couldn't leave. I had to wait for I had the scraper. I was scraping frost off of the windshield.
I know you left that, though. Makes you feel like it's really the first day of December.
And then I scrape it off. I grab a scraper. I run out there, scrape it off, get in. Still can't see out because the interior is all like fogged up or something, you know. And I don't really keep cars outside, so
it's a process.
This is an everyday occurrence for people who keep
this
their
is normal.
Car.
Yeah.
Oh wow, geez.
Yeah, that's what I do every day.
Oh, you're kidding? How long does it take to warm that sucker up? Because I had to
start driving, dude.
Well, I had to put the window, the side window down. And then I had my head out the side window driving that way.
Hey, Ventura.
Yeah, I do that every day.
And I'm driving and I'm like, man, it was not
unfogging.
Unfogging. And I go, am I going to have to drive in the whole, like, get on the highway this way?
Oh, no. It kicks over about 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, it was after I almost killed about, you know, 6 pedestrians, run over a deer, hit the curb, you know, I mean. So, it was a little bit of a slow process getting in here today. So, I apologize for that. I heard that intro music a little bit longer than normal, probably. I'll get to your email here in just a moment. Mr. Jeffrey Allen LaRocque is here. Good morning, Jeffrey. He was here right on time, I think. Hi.
Yeah, morning.
There he is. He's got the... What is that that you have? That's a hat?
Yeah, I got it from the Grissom Air Museum in Indiana.
What is it? What's on the hat?
The picture of a B-47 Stratofortress, which was the Stratojet, excuse me. It was the primary medium bomber that was used during the 50s.
Oh.
This is the granddaddy of all Boeing-designed aircraft. Both civilian and military.
Here, you can come in here. I got a little present for you. This is something that my sister-in-law gave to me to give to Jeffrey, some aviator sunglasses that she got from the... Do you remember the hockey team? Yeah, the hockey team had the Top Gun night.
Yeah.
Where they were dressed as... You know, their jerseys looked like, I don't know, flight suits or some sort of bomber jacket, something. And they gave out aviator glasses to everyone in attendance. And my sister-in-law went to that. And so she got the Top Gun aviator glasses for Jeffrey.
Today's the perfect day for it. He was telling me in the bathroom it's an important day.
What is today?
We never finished telling me because...
I have something on my calendar.
What's that?
You're supposed to walk to work today.
No, that got moved.
Oh, it got moved?
Yeah.
For sure?
Why did it get moved?
He decided to move it for some reason.
Is that possible? You're allowed to just move your annual walk to work?
Well, we also got to set the V-mix.
Could you move your finger to the button and turn on the microphone?
He can't see with those sunglasses.
There he is.
It's so dark in those glasses.
Funny. So that this way, this gives me time to set up the V-Mix thing so that when I plan to leave my house at 4 in the morning so that when I finish, you guys are already on the air.
There's another reason, too, I thought you told us, because you had something to do today.
No, and the whole idea was to finish the walk while you guys are on the air so you can get live
updates. We could set that up in 1 minute. So, no, you decide to move it. What do you have to do today? Dieter says you have something to do today.
The luncheon with the GM that he sent an email out to everybody.
Oh.
I wanted to make that, so that's why I needed my car, so I had to move it.
That's why he first changed it. He said.
Oh, okay.
Dieter, are you going to that, Dieter?
No. Oh. No, I heard that you three aren't going, so it's probably just going to be me and Charlie.
Oh, it's just you.
Or just me, so.
Charlie, are you going?
No, I wanted to, but I went and asked him yesterday. Bad news, Jeffrey.
What?
We're not going.
Okay, whatever.
Well, it's not because of you. I went and asked. I said, hey, Rover, Doogie, and Dieter aren't coming. Are we still going? And Dumb's out with COVID, so I was like, it's just me and Jeffrey. You still want... And Snitzer, sorry. Okay. And Snitzer. And I said, do you still want to do that lunch? And he said, no.
So I guess
I have one-on-one with Jeffrey
before we get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows you how important...
Yeah, I said, are we still doing this lunch where we're going to go? Because, you know, our boss is going to take us to lunch. It sounds great. And said, are we still doing that? And he said, no, we're not doing that anymore. Everybody canceled. And I said, not everybody. So
Jeffrey's still in.
I was still in.
I had a feeling something like this was going to happen. So what a way to ring in my 11th anniversary on the show.
No kidding.
Yeah. Today? You started.
Today I started, I was actually hired. This was my actual hire date from the company.
Oh, so not the actual first day he started on the show. Just
it's multiple.
Yeah, it's multiple. The internship started when he actually got hired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's my anniversary of me actually getting hired by the company.
Oh, all right. Well, congratulations to you.
And then it seems like I've forever changed the landscape of the fabric of our show since then.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, it's
you've stained a lot of fabric.
Yeah. It's the only fabric you have changed in the 11 years. Certainly not your underwear. This guy.
So you don't get the, you don't understand the context of the word fabric. We're not talking about a piece of clothing here, dude. We're talking about the makeup of the show. That, you know, is what we're getting at.
All right.
Okay. All right. all right. Let's see here. Alan says, please never have Doogie do sports again. She doesn't know the difference between football and basketball. Why not let Dieter have a crack at it?
I do a great job.
And...
Oh, yeah, like cut over like they do to the sportscaster.
We tried...
cut over to Dieter.
He doesn't like doing that.
I tried doing it. I couldn't do it. It's harder than you think. I can't say anybody's name. All I know is football, so when soccer stories come up or baseball, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
You want to try it? I'll give you some stories. We'll try it.
If it was football.
I don't need
it. Oh, no.
Sports stories.
Sorry.
Nick writes, listening to your show today, you mentioned how your wife thinks you're autistic. Well, my wife watched the show Atypical on Netflix, which follows an autistic boy's life, and now she thinks I'm autistic. Mm. See, my wife was watching that on Netflix. That's, you know, but she said this since before she started watching the show.
What's
I asked her, Atypical.
Oh, okay.
And I said, is it good? She goes, meh.
Autism in Love is the good one.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Did you see the second season came out?
No, did it?
No, that's not a, it's a, like a...
No, this is like a kind of reality show, but it's not like a game show or anything. It's, they just follow autistic couples and they're in love.
Well, trying to find love.
Trying to find love,
but
yeah.
It's good.
It's very good.
Jen writes, Rover, this is a message for the girl who had the dog stolen by the people down the street. There was a girl yesterday who emailed and she said that her dog got out and was picked up by some people on the next street over. They're now walking that dog as if it's their own and refusing to give it back. Jen says, you need to steal your dog back. Normally, I do not condone this type of behavior, but if this was a child, they would not be able to get away with it. I'm quite sure there are a lot of people who would help plan this coup. Don't let them get away with it. If this were my dog, I would not sit idly by, she says. So the great dog napping caper of 2021, we'll see if she can dog nap her dog back.
Just be careful, because something bad could happen. You know what I mean?
What kind of family just takes finds a dog with tags on and then just removes the collar, or as Dieter says, you know, cuts them off, the tags off. What kind of family does that and just keeps it as their own?
A family that wants a dog.
Dogs go get your own dog.
They're expensive. No,
they're not. They're not expensive. Dogs are a dime a dozen. I can go out on the street, find a dog. Dog, are you kidding
me? Especially if it's a used dog. Yeah. Like a brand new dog might be expensive. This is a used dog.
Isn't that mean to say? Used dog? Like, that's so cruel to the animal. It's called adoption or shelter.
This is
dog.
Stolen. I'm saying if you're willing to take any dog and steal a dog, go get a different dog.
An unhoused dog.
That's the proper term.
There you go.
Frank writes, I worked at a recycling center in Ashland. The trash all does come to the same spot, but once it gets there, we have sorters to separate the trash. There's a conveyor that you put the recyclables on, and they are put together and sent out.
So some are saved.
No, Frank is obviously a shill, a plant, a decoy from big recycling.
A couple people did reach out and said, yeah, they do. So keep recycling.
I actually had the same thing.
Yeah. Garbage
I've
men.
I showed this to you guys. I showed you the 60-minute story.
It was one story in one city.
It was 60. It was not.
And they changed it.
No, lie. 60 Minutes was one story in one city?
That's the only story I've ever seen.
No, that's a lie. You're thinking of the news story from here that says exactly the same thing. It's all a scam. Danny writes, yo, Rover, pertaining to the guy in Lubbock, Texas that was shot by his ex's new boyfriend. This guy was a hothead. That's clearly why he was an ex. He showed up, thought he was a badass, and was shown differently. He was told to leave. He smarted off like Charlie would do, and then now he's no longer a problem. He played a stupid game and came in first place.
That is so cruel to say that, too, because the guy is a father and he's dead. That was worth killing a guy over?
Well, there are a lot of fathers who are jerks.
Just because now, somebody brought up, now that kid's going to have to probably live with the stepdad that murdered his father.
Right. And just saying, if that's my boyfriend and he killed my ex-husband, red flag, I'm out. I'm out of that relationship. The guy had no remorse shooting and killing my ex. I gotta go.
Well,
I don't want my son around that.
I think that, yeah, I mean, you may be right, I guess. I think the widow of the guy who was shot has filed a petition to get that kid from the, you know, to get that kid from the mother. And the stepfather who shot her. I don't think she's going to have much luck. I think that that's going to be ruled self-defense, I think. Scott writes, hello, Rover. I can't stop thinking about the picture Jeffrey showed of his Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, if Doogie can make a 21-pound turkey for three people, how did Jeffrey feed four people with a 3-pound turkey breast, one can of veggies, and one serving of potatoes? Where's the rest?
No dinner rolls, no pumpkin pie.
Did you have gravy?
Oh, of course we had gravy.
Wasn't in the photo.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was still simmering on the stove. I was just in a hurry just to get, you know, get.
Did you have bread?
Before everybody ate.
Did you have bread?
No, we didn't have rolls.
And also, don't forget, he said they had more than one serving. They had seconds.
Out of that.
He said that?
Yeah, it was a 7-pound turkey breast.
That's 7 pounds?
Yeah. I think that on a plate? I think that that's a larger turkey breast than you guys are
that's
thinking
a dinner plate
of.
Look at the, I mean,
it is a dinner plate.
And look at the Tupperware containers.
Look at the spoon next to it. That's a regular size spoon. That's a regular size dinner plate.
Huh. That and looks like maybe what, 2-3 pounds?
You cook a 7-pound turkey for 3 hours?
It's at just the breast, she's not a whole turkey.
At 450.
No stuffing?
Did you have stuffing?
Like I said, we didn't have all the other traditional stuff. I just decided to keep it simple because it was only four people.
Oh, green bean casserole.
No, we didn't have any green bean
sweet
casserole.
Sweet potatoes.
Or brown bean casserole, as you'd call it.
Sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes.
Huh?
Sweet
potatoes. He said it 6 times and you kept talking over him. Were you saying sweet potatoes?
No.
Pie.
We had an apple pie.
You did?
Where is it?
It's not in the photo.
No, it's because we were still baking it.
Oh, you made it by hand?
No, we just got a frozen Sara Lee pie from the supermarket.
Mention the dish you wish you would have. Wish you would have had.
What?
You told us on the aftermath. Mention the dish.
Nicky Benz's pie.
No.
Oh, it's an aunt's recipe.
Oh, yeah, my grandma's carrot raisin salad recipe.
I'm sorry, but, what?
The carrot raisin salad that my grandma used to make that, you know, every year when she was still alive.
Explain the three ingredients.
Just shredded carrots, some mayonnaise, and some raisins.
Oh my God.
Guys did that at the cook party that I missed because I was hit by a car, if you recall.
That.
Oh my God, that's right.
Carrots and raisins?
I think we all blocked that
out.
I don't
remember. I think then they start throwing mayonnaise at each other on stage.
Yeah, Dieter and Nats from the video that I'd watched.
I think somebody cut their hand on the. Don't you have to slice the carrots or peel them?
If I was to do it nowadays, I would just get pre-shredded carrots.
Well, we didn't have them, so we had to shred them on stage, peel them. And so I think I cut my finger, or Nads did, and was bleeding all in the recipe and the raisins.
Mm.
And then you put all this mayo in there. It was disgusting.
Wow, that's heavy, dude.
Okay, Whitney writes in 2010. I was graduating from medical assisting. We had to do a 180-hour internship, which is hard to do when you have a full-time job and you go to school full-time. But you're right. When people have nothing else to do, they can knock all these hours out, spend all their time there, do everything that they need to do. Of course, it was unpaid, but you still had to learn the ways, the office, going in early, staying late, everything a regular employee would do. But when it did come to the end of my internship, I did get hired by the company before anyone else even knew about the open position because I was well aware how the office worked, how the doctor worked, and the overall job. So there are pros and cons to an unpaid internship. Yeah, people were criticizing this congressman because he had some internships. He posted on Twitter internships for college students, unpaid internships, and people were like, oh, my God. Yeah, that's how... It's an opportunity for them. It's nothing to cry about, people. T writes, Rover, I don't care what options you have. They usually aren't bad. I think he means opinions. But when a false opinion gets spread that can affect public health, it bothers me. Zinc is clinically proven to be effective at aiding in healthy cell reproduction. It has been proven to be more effective at helping the body prevent and recover from infection than vitamin C. Well, that wouldn't be hard considering that studies show vitamin C does absolutely nothing. Zero. Zilch. As in zinc with a Z.
He went to medical school.
But they have a good point.
This person didn't go to medical school. Well, what are you talking about?
He probably looked it up. I'm telling you, studies show zinc works.
Yeah. He's right. It's not taking the supplement. It's taking the actual vitamin. It's the actual iron. Not taking a supplement.
What does she mean by that?
A vitamin is a supplement.
Well, not like taking, there's some that says like a mix of all kinds
like
of
a multivitamin.
Things.
Multivitamins. Yeah. Okay, like, then it's just a pure vitamin, you're saying.
No.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Douche, the study doesn't say that it doesn't work if it's a multivitamin, but if you take them all individually, it works. No, you're absolutely wrong about that.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Here's someone who writes, "Yo, Rover, I dated a girl for almost 3 years. The first year and a half we were together, she was stable." This is, by the way, this email is about dating someone with depression. We talked about that yesterday. In fact, let's see, we traveled the country. We went to large gatherings, concerts. We even attended the last Rover Fest you had. In fact, my girlfriend at the time and I met you in Las Vegas at the iHeartRadio Music Festival. I mention all these things we did together because to most people, in a normal relationship, you really take for granted the ability to have a stable partner and do all of these things. A little over a year into dating, my girlfriend started having panic attacks. The first episode was during traveling at an airport, so I assumed it was just a stressful situation and was an isolated incident. The panic attacks continued, off and on for a few months. Then eventually, she slipped into a massive clinical depressive state. She would sleep 16 hours a day. She had no energy, constant visits to the hospital. It got really, really bad. We no longer had sex for over a year. We didn't travel. She barely had the energy to hold a part-time job. I tried to live my life as normal, even traveling with other friends without her, going to the gym by myself, but it wasn't the same. I was always thinking of her well-being and was always super stressed to make sure that she was okay. I tried everything. Even involving her family, by inviting them over to our house to come help with her chores, just to be there for her. We even had a dog together, mainly because she needed a dog as a companion. She had no energy to take care of the dog or even do her own laundry. I took on the role of a full-time caretaker at the age of 33. She was 28. I remember one week we had a cleaning company come to the house to help out every other week. And certain weeks I had to keep her bedroom door shut and instruct them to clean other areas of the house because she would wake up in complete tears and refuse to be around anyone or leave the bed. After over a year of being a caretaker to this person, nothing would work, therapy, medications, etc. We lived together, just the two of us. The situation came to a point where I didn't trust her to be alone. I had no other option but to tell her that she had to move out of my place and move back home with her family to be around people more often during the day that can look out for her. After a few months living apart, she finally broke down and gave up on the relationship, stating that she was exhausted and could not be emotionally available for me and I deserve better. She moved back home with her family permanently, and we have not spoken since. She was the love of my life, he says. This was the hardest thing I ever went through. I thought I would never recover from this. 2 years later, I'm now in a new relationship with a new woman who has her own children. I'm happy and appreciative of all the moments that I get. And my new family. My advice to listeners, you can't fix the depression, nor can they. Don't get stuck in a relationship for years on end with no end in sight. So he went through this. He says, get out.
I don't think I could handle that. If I dated a guy that was sleeping or couldn't get out of bed, I can't. It would bring you down. But then if you love them like he did, it'd be really hard to deal with.
Well, he tried and says, can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Well, We've got to take a break. 866-YO-ROVER is our number. 866-967-6837. Let me go to Kathleen quickly. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Rover.
Hi.
I love you guys.
Hey, what's up? We love you.
My dog has been stolen since August 24th.
You're the one who emailed in yesterday about this?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. That's my trucker dog.
Okay, yes.
And we go down the street every day looking for him. We have also sat in the car for like hours watching the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
to see where he's at. So we have done everything. I have done flyers, like I said in my email. No avail.
Now, are you sure that this dog is actually on the next street over with, you're positive that someone has picked up this dog and is, how do you know that? How do you know the dog didn't just run away, get hit by a car?
Because a family friend saw him being walked by this family.
Uh-huh.
And knows the dog.
Uh-huh.
So, and
I mean, a lot of dogs look alike, though.
Right. And you know that...
No.
When's the last time you saw it over... You haven't even seen the dog.
This is like in September.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like I said, he was seen being walked like he was theirs.
But that was September.
By a family friend.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I mean, they might have moved.
I know, but... No. He's somewhere in that neighborhood. He's somewhere on the next street over. I'm positive.
They have to take the dog out occasionally, right? Or no? Do you think they just let it out in the backyard?
He's a small dog. What we're waiting on is that he'll go to the vet, and then they'll chip him because the vets also they check for a chip.
Yeah, but not if and someone owns the dog. You know, I mean. If you take your dog in there, they don't check. They require like a special wand to wave over the back of the dog to find that chip under the skin. And if it's a missing dog, they'll do that. But if you just bring in your dog, they're not going to check for a microchip.
Well, they will check for a chip because he's on the missing list. He's on the most wanted list.
Oh, he's on the most wanted puppy list.
So they're looking for it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
All right. Well, Kathleen, you keep your eyes peeled for... What's this dog's name?
Leo.
Leo. All right. You keep your eyes peeled for Leo. She's on a stakeout.
Thank you very much for taking my call and also reading my email on your show. It meant a lot to me because it's been hard missing our dog.
Dieter, do you think that this dog is around on the next street over, or do you think that Kathleen is holding out irrational hope that this dog is over there?
No, there's always hope.
Sure.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that it's still around. I want to give up hope.
Because he's chipped, yeah. I'm sure we'll get him back. But I will keep you guys posted, and I listen to you every morning. I work at Swage Lock in Highland, and... we love you.
Someone says you should get a drone and fly over the homes and check out the backyard and see if you can spot that dog.
I thought about that.
It's a whole operation.
For it.
That's really good.
Huh. Well, Kathleen, let us know how it turns out.
Good luck, honey.
Good luck. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
I love you, too. To she off. Was going to say Doogie.
No, I don't think she was.
If they do take it to the vet, they will find it because if it's a first-time visit at the vet, at least the vet that I go to,
mm-hmm.
they go through all sorts of rigmarole to, you know,
mm-hmm.
to check on.
Jordan in Palm Beach, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I heard the bad news that Dom caught COVID.
Yes, that's right.
The one advice I wanted
for
to
the
give
the third time, I think.
Is it the third?
Yeah.
I know he got it before.
I don't know.
I couldn't remember if it was two or three.
For his third time with COVID, I wanted to give him a little bit of medical advice. Take
yes.
what you will from it.
Yes.
It's something called monoclonal antibody therapy. This is very non-conspiratorial. You have to go to a doctor's office to get it. It's at least in my state of Florida, it was completely free. They didn't even ask for my insurance. And it's just an IV drip. It takes about an hour of your time at most, including check-in, getting the IV, and then walking out the door. And they take plasma from the blood of people who have already had COVID, and it contains antibodies, I'm pretty sure. And then they give you that plasma, and it already has the antibodies from someone who's already got over COVID, and it's almost like immediately shot me back to 95% normal. And if Dumb is having any complication, or anyone on the show, especially you, Rover, I would definitely recommend monoclonal antibody therapy.
Well, I don't have COVID, so I should have it. I should just have an IV going right now, even if I don't have COVID.
Only if you have COVID. That's the only time you can take it.
And I can't believe it's free.
So if you ever catch.
Now, what was your symptoms? Were you really, really sick?
I barely surprised I made it, but no, I was just. I had a fever of 105 for a day, and that was the worst symptom.
Whoa. That's up there.
Well, Dumb did send me a text last night that not only does he have COVID, but his mother and B1 are also positive for COVID. So I know B1 had COVID once before.
Well, she didn't have it.
She didn't. Well, no, she didn't. She tested negative, yes. But she did have it.
Yes, the doctor said you have it.
That doesn't make sense.
But you don't have it.
You test negative, but
yes.
Now she tests positive, and they go, you don't have it, even though you test positive. So
the only thing I want to say is yes. I hope at the end of this, we can all say that Dumb cheated on COVID with monoclonal antibody therapy.
Thank you, Jordan. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, wow. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The podcasts, all in one. You can ask your smart device to play Rover's Morning Glory on iHeartRadio. This is MMS. Kids these days can't even talk English good.
No cap.
And the grown-ups on this show ain't much better.
It's homosexual.
Bolshevik.
Very hard word to say. Rover's Morning Glory.
Dave, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, do you think the kid that had his dad killed the other day, do you think he's going to grow up older and get revenge on that other guy?
So you're talking about the guy in Texas. We played a video on the show yesterday where a guy in Texas, he goes to pick up his kid, and the kid's not there or not ready or whatever, and he's all angry at his ex.
Do you think the kid's going to grow up to get revenge?
Yeah, I know. You asked that question. See, I'm recapping the whole thing so that anyone who doesn't know that story would be able to get the answer. It makes sense. All right, thank you, Dave. Now I'm not even going to answer it because it pissed me off. The guy just cuts in. I'm recapping it so people who don't know the story. Think of the entire audience listening right now. I know Dave listened to it yesterday.
Yeah, but do you think they're going to get revenge?
I mean, probably, what would you say, 5% of maybe 10% of the people listening know what he was talking about? If that, I would say, right?
Oh, no, when he called in to talk to me, I didn't know what he was talking about at first.
So and you were actually on the show.
Yeah, he's like, the shooting. And I said, huh? Because I know there was like a school shooting yesterday. And I was like, are you talking about that? And no, you're going to talk about the couple dispute. And I said, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I have an answer. And I think it's the right answer. No, I'm not going to reveal it, though. Um, CNN suspended Chris Cuomo yesterday. They suspended him indefinitely.
With pay?
Oh, well, I don't know. Probably, yeah. He is the brother of the ousted governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. And I guess I haven't been following this story real carefully. I have never liked Chris Cuomo. He comes off to me as a pompous ass. And
I think everybody feels like that.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's just such a prick.
The one video when he got in a fight with some guys.
The fat tire bike guy.
Yeah, that one. Well,
the other one.
The wedding. The
Fredo
or whatever.
Those two videos, then I go, oh, I don't like this guy.
Yeah, I don't like this guy either. And so apparently, so he has a show on CNN, and apparently while his brother was under investigation for these sexual harassment claims, he was providing advice and counsel and helping coordinate the response to that, and including trying to dig up dirt on the accusers.
Because he has contacts, right? Being in the news.
And also, I guess this Ronan Farrow, another guy who I don't like, Ronan Farrow he's the guy who started the whole he did a Harvey Weinstein article after it was turned down by whatever publication, and then he went somewhere else and published it. Now he's turned into like this crusader for, I don't know, just, have you ever seen an interview with that guy?
No. Man,
you want to talk about
creepy?
He doesn't have the same pompous personality that Chris Cuomo has, but it's one of those that is, he's smarter than everyone else. Arrogant, I would say.
Know it all.
Yeah,
I don't know what that's like.
Working with everybody's somebody smarter than you.
No, just like one of those
guy that's never wrong, knows it all.
He corrects everybody.
He has a very elitist attitude.
Okay.
At least I think when I see Ronan Farrow, so I don't like that guy either. But anyhow. So they were trying to apparently figure out what Ronan Farrow might have in his investigation of the governor.
Yeah.
And I haven't followed this like real carefully. Someone's going to have to explain to me. Now, maybe it's not right because he worked at CNN, but he's not a newscaster at CNN. I think that's important. He is just a host on CNN, and that's an opinion show. People see these shows like Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow, and they think that's the news. I don't know, they might be talking about stuff in the news, but those are opinion shows. And Chris Cuomo is an opinion show. Is there
something else I can help with?
Siri's talking to me. No, Siri, shut up.
Oh, be nice. Don't be mean to her.
I said shut up, Siri. Yeah, see? Put her in her place.
That's awful. Don't do that.
She just started talking to me off from my Apple Watch. But so I'm trying to figure out, what did Chris Cuomo do that is so, people are calling, have been calling for him to resign or to be fired or whatever. What did he do that was so horrible?
I thought he used his news contacts to find out who different people were. And I swear, I think he texted Andrew Cuomo's, I don't know, worker, something, somebody high up in Andrew Cuomo's office.
His brother, yeah.
Yes, his brother, and goes, hey, I found out, you know, basically found out the identity of this girl that's accusing you.
No, I think they knew the identity. I think they knew who it was the entire time. The identity?
Well, I don't know. Just he had this one text that I kept seeing yesterday. Said something along the lines, I found the girl.
And he was also lying about it. Like, he said he really wasn't doing anything than they had previously known. So he was doing way more than he was revealing.
I'm not saying that, like, I wouldn't do that for my brother, but then I'd also expect to probably get in a lot of trouble if I got caught.
Yeah.
To me, this is a natural response. If it's your brother who is accused of something, now, I think the identity of the accuser was known all along, Charlie. I could be wrong about that. I haven't seen anything in what I've read about Chris Cuomo that he was trying to reveal her identity. I think they knew who it was. They were trying to dig up dirt on her and say, hey, she's a kook. She is making false allegations against my brother. I think that's what Chris Cuomo was trying to do. And I don't know if that's so unusual that you would do for your brother. It seems to me like that would be normal behavior if it were your brother. Now, granted, he works for CNN.
Aren't they supposed to be neutral?
No, because he's an opinion show. He's not just giving. Mm-hmm. He's not a news anchor, Dieter. He's not just reading you the news. So
then, why they suspend him? There's something to it.
The New York Attorney General's Office released transcripts and exhibits that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense.
Yeah. So you know, that Attorney General investigated the governor of New York, and then last week they released these text messages from Chris Cuomo to his brother's press secretary or something, and like, I haven't seen anything. Now, maybe I'm missing it.
It's against their policy. That's what they're saying. When Chris admitted to us that he offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules, and we acknowledged that publicly.
Like, CNN said that.
CNN said that's against everything. You can't you can't go behind our backs and do this when publicly we're saying we're staying out of it. He's not reporting on any of that. But then behind the scenes, behind the boss's backs, he was going and digging up dirt. So that's where they have a problem with it.
But if he's doing that on his own private time, now I don't think he was using CNN resources. If he was just calling around and he goes, hey, listen, do you know anything on Lindsey Smith, or I'm just making that name up, who's accusing my brother? To me, that doesn't seem that bad, but maybe I'm misreading the situation.
They said there's like another thing said, it is bad. He is using his news sources.
Of course he is. How do you think he has those sources if it's not from CNN?
Yeah, and somebody says to him, hey, there's going to be like one or two other girls coming out. There's going to be an article. Can you use your sources to find out who they're talking to?
Yeah, let me get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Like, can you give us any dirt to get ahead of it?
See, I don't even think that just seems like stuff you would do if that were your brother. Or
sure, I agree with that.
Or CNN head anchor. You can't. You got to be very careful. If you get caught, it's going to be bad.
Not a maker. He's an opinion guy.
Well, whatever. Well, you don't do it.
Highest paid guy there, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, he did say right when these accusations against his brother
were
made public, he said, "I'm not going to comment on it."
Not right away.
What do you mean, not right away?
It's not right away because I remember reading people were like, "You're not going to say anything." It took him a while for the public to start bashing him, and then he finally came out and said, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But not right away. He should have immediately.
Right. I think it was. how long are you talking about?
It wasn't the first week or second week.
Oh.
I'm just telling you.
I don't know about all that. After these allegations were made public, Chris Cuomo said nothing for weeks? That's not correct.
I know right away he didn't. But then, didn't he eventually?
Maybe a day.
Because they made a big deal. Like, oh, he didn't address it. He just moved right on.
For 24 hours. It was during, I remember it was during all of these. He did mention it. He did address it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just saying that he got bashed for it because behind the scenes he was helping his brother and he wasn't talking about it on the air.
Well, I guess. And by the way, this is what you would do. These are people calling in favors. Hey, what do you know about this? What have you heard? So-and-so is going to write an article. Do you have any sources over there? What are they talking about? Like, this is just seems like what you would do for your brother. So I don't know. Maybe it's, look, I don't like Chris Cuomo. So if they end up canning the guy, I don't care. But
they won't fire him. Do you think they will?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll fire him.
I think that, you don't think so?
No.
I think his ratings. I think his ratings are also down, and they're going to use this as an opportunity to
and put Anderson Cooper in there.
Anderson Cooper was in there. They replaced Anderson Cooper with Chris Cuomo.
But then they called up Anderson and said, "Yo, come in," which he did, didn't he? Didn't Anderson Cooper? Are you crabby or something? Like, you're getting all angry about me.
What are you talking about?
Have you not heard of firing somebody and then bringing them back?
No, they didn't fire.
They moved him off that position. Then they take Chris Cuomo out. And who was there last night?
Cooper did an extra hour last night.
Yeah, Anderson. Okay. That's what happened originally. Anderson Cooper used to do a 2-hour show or whatever. Anderson Cooper 360.
Right.
Then they reduced it to 1 hour and put Chris Cuomo on. And so, I don't know, they could give another hour back to Anderson Cooper.
Right.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it was that. People are making a big deal about it, but to me, it seems like a natural thing to do where you would text your brother's contact and be like, "Hey, here's what I heard." It doesn't seem like it's that bad, but...
But you're giving...
Maybe I'm missing something.
You're getting dirt on people or articles that are going to come out, and you're feeding it to your brother ahead of time, saying, "Hey, this is where they're going to go, and this is what they're going to do."
But that stuff happens all the time for people who aren't brothers.
But like, when you're in the news
all the time,
you're going to get caught.
You don't think that people from CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, you don't think that they tell people, "Hey, I hear that the New York Times is working on this, and they have a source, and this is what they're going to write tomorrow." You don't think that they... I don't find that unusual at all. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. I've got to take a break. We do have the shizzy coming up. The news. What do you have on the way, Dougie?
More bad news for LeBron James. We'll talk about what's going on with him coming up next.
We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
Kicking ass and forgetting names.
What's the name of the show, dude?
Rover's Morning Glory.
Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy is coming up in just a moment. The news, what do you have on the way, Dougie?
If you're missing packages from FedEx, I might know where some of them are. Horrible story out of Alabama. I'll tell you the story next.
I saw a story about a male woman. A male person.
That's better.
Thank you, Dieter. Saw a male person who tracked down her neighbor, I think, was a victim of a porch pirate. Yeah. And the male person somehow got in her mail truck and chased the person down and got the package back or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I don't, I kind of live... my driveway is pretty long, so people aren't... You'd have to really go up to my house to try and get a package off the porch.
Some people don't care.
They just walk right up? I mean,
yes, they don't care how long it is.
This is an unbelievably common thing now, isn't it? I mean, people are just... You live in a neighborhood where you have a house side by side by side by side, you know? They're just going... picking up packages, and then they get in their car, they drive away. Dougie, are you ready for the shizzy?
Yes.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
I know you're going to talk about this coming up, but I have to do it so people don't get mad at me. Quickly, authorities say a 15-year-old student opened fire at Oxford High School in Oxford Township, Michigan, which is about 35 miles north of Detroit. And this was all over the news yesterday, and he fatally shot 3 students and injured 7 others, plus a teacher. So we'll have some pretty... It's really difficult to watch some video as well from what was happening inside the school, but we'll have that story coming up. Also in the news, a federal judge sentenced Emma Coronel Espiro, or otherwise the wife of El Chapo, the drug lord.
Yeah.
So remember, El Chapo's in prison.
Yeah,
and
forever, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He's done. The wife was helping him and helping do stuff. And so now she's been arrested and she has been sentenced. And that judge put her in prison for 3 years.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, 3 years in prison and 48 months of supervised release. Hmm. So she pled guilty earlier this year to assisting her husband's cartel. And that was part of the drug distribution process while her husband was in prison.
So almost like a good deal for her to just, I think she cooperated
with
them.
Yes, that's why she got less.
She gets only 3 years. It's probably not a bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal. Otherwise, she'd end up spending the rest of her life in jail like El Chapo is.
Brian Laundrie's parents are going to move from their home out of Florida.
Oh, yeah?
They put up a for sale sign in the front yard of their Northport, Florida house.
Now, does that come with the bunker? Remember we saw Charlie's girlfriend's girlfriend had all these theories that Brian Laundrie was living in a bunker underground in the backyard, and you saw his hand come up like... She was really convinced by that.
Idiot.
It looked real.
That was a bust. That was CGI. It came out.
Did it?
Yeah. No. Where's the hand? You think there was a hand?
I actually really did. I thought that there was a person down in that garden.
You can't be that dumb.
I am that dumb. Anyway, that home is going up for sale. Chris and Roberta Laundrie. Of course, that was where everybody was swamping outside and sitting there. And
this Laundrie family, these two, the parents of this, Brian Laundrie, they should turn around and sue their attorney. Whoever this attorney is, every news story, it's the Laundrie family attorney. That guy,
Steve Bertolino.
Steve Bertolino should be disbarred because...
What'd he do?
He gave the worst advice in the history of lawyers. He's the one that said, don't talk to anyone. Don't talk to Gabby Petito's family. Don't talk. And it turned the entire, the public against these parents. Everyone believed that they must be in on it when Brian Laundrie disappeared. Then it turns out that when Brian Laundrie went missing, they call the police and they say, hey, listen, our son is gone or whatever. So they do an inventory of the dad's guns. And there's one gun missing out of the gun safe. And they tell police, hey, there's one handgun is missing. But this Steve Bertolino guy or whatever his name is, this attorney, is like they don't, he's like, shh, shh, don't tell anyone, don't tell the media. We're not going to, they make no comment on that. I think he gave them really bad advice. And he made them look really bad in the eyes of the public. I don't think these parents really had any idea what actually happened. Brian Laundrie came back. He's there for a few days before Gabby Petito is declared missing. So who knows what he told them? He could have said, oh, we broke up, whatever. Who knows? Once she's declared missing, Brian Laundrie then disappears. But the family says nothing. The parents say absolutely nothing. The cloud of suspicion is over them. And it's because of that attorney. That attorney should have said, listen, sit down with Good Morning America, give an interview, whatever the case may be. They had nothing to hide, the parents.
In this story.
But everyone hates them now. They had nothing to hide.
In this story, it says that the gun that was missing, one gun, he used it and he killed himself. Obviously, we know that, but it was a gunshot to the head.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I assume that's where you would shoot yourself if you're going to kill yourself with a gun. You're not going to shoot yourself in the foot.
No, I know, but they
just bleed out.
Right.
Yeah, that is an interesting point.
Very interesting.
Have they said that they recovered the gun?
No.
The gun just disappeared. So he kills himself and now the gun
evaporated.
There's no gun in his hand, and even if he's a skeleton hand doesn't have the gun. What happened to the gun?
Right, it's not in the water by him. It doesn't just evaporate, disintegrate. Did the parents go and pick up the gun before they called the cops to say, hey, I know where my son's at? Did somebody else come upon and find the gun but not report the body? There's so many things.
I have no idea. It's a strange thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Was it really suicide now? Was he killed? And then, of course, there'd be no gun then.
I think you could still see if I mean, the
you can make it look like a suicide, dude. You can hold the gun up to somebody's head.
But you can still do, with forensic science, you can still do tests that reveal.
How would they know? I don't think so.
I think they could.
Months after the fact? No, you're wrong.
I think
the gun
could.
Residue would be off the guy's hand.
Because he has no hand left. He's been underwater. He's, you know, it's bone.
Right. But they're moving. The parents are moving. Yeah. A FedEx driver, this is out of Alabama, a FedEx driver dumped hundreds of packages into a ravine at least six times. This is a huge mess.
So he just got overwhelmed and he goes, he opens the back of his truck and throws all the packages out?
Yep. In this article, they have not released the guy's name, but he has been identified. And they said 300 to 400 packages of various sizes were discovered.
Look at this.
I'd kill that guy.
I would be so upset. There on RMG TV, you can see workers from all over the place retrieving those packages and trying to get those packages back to those that they should be going to. How upset would you be?
All these trucks are full.
Of stuff that this guy threw out.
Don't you think that that FedEx, so he did this six different times. If he threw out hundreds and hundreds of packages, wouldn't they put two and two together? They obviously they have tracking numbers on everything, but if they go from one day, they go, hey, there's like 50 packages missing from this guy's route. That would be a little suspicious, wouldn't it?
Well, what do you
and
mean?
Then if it happens five more times, wouldn't you eventually go?
They were delivered.
What do you mean they were delivered?
I think that's why. Don't you think that they would?
Well,
think
he might have said they were delivered, right. But you don't think that the customers called and said, "Hey, I never got this package."
Yeah, doesn't Amazon take a picture of the package delivered too? He wasn't doing that. Would you take a picture of the land of the ravine?
Does FedEx do that?
Amazon's deliverers, not.
I don't think FedEx does.
FedEx doesn't do that.
Do you get? I don't get FedEx. Do you?
Oh, I get everything. You name it: FedEx, UPS, USPS, Amazon delivery, DoorDash. And DHL, they all come to my house.
Laser.
Who?
Laser.
I don't know who
that
is.
That's one I just got recently.
That's
they lost my package.
Must be a new
one.
They
lost it?
Yeah.
It's in a ravine somewhere.
Just a heads up, too, if you are ordering stuff for Christmas, make sure that you start getting that right away because some of the delays. Have you seen delays on stuff? Like, I've started to see they're pushing things back and back. And, you know, today's the first day of December. So just make sure you have that. We knew this was going to come yesterday, and it did. Dr. Oz, he will run for a U.S. Senate seat in Pennsylvania. So the TV doctor has made a multi-million dollar media buy in the state and a media buy to push his impending candidacy. Well, he actually did do that, and he did make it official. He was going to run for Senate. He wants to help everybody heal for the state of Pennsylvania. All right, LeBron James. He's in the news once again, not because he had some hecklers removed, not from courtside, not because he made an obscene gesture on court where he was fined $15,000. I think he grabbed his crotch.
No, he's doing the big balls dance.
Yes. And now he has COVID.
So oh, really?
He did three different tests, and two of them were positive. He was put on a private jet back to L.A. He was out on the road, so they said that he is fully vaccinated as well, so it is a breakthrough case, but they do say that he is not going to play, and he will be in isolation because of that. And one of the things that I'd mentioned was the hecklers. Did you see this other story about, so LeBron was on the court, and some people were heckling him, and he had them removed.
He had him kicked out. Right. I don't know what they were saying exactly, how bad it was.
I read it was something about his son.
Dying in a car, something. I heard it was something about that like hoping his
kid. What'd they say about his kid?
It just crossed the line. Just something about his son. I didn't know it was that detailed.
Bronny?
Yeah, Bronny. Bronny sucks. Uh-huh. Oh, you can't say that. Remove these people. So well, somebody else now. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so now is this the new norm? So think of Khloe Kardashian, her father of her kid is Tristan Thompson. And apparently, this was Sacramento Kings, Tristan Thompson, he pulled the same stunt. He had a Memphis Grizzlies fan removed from the stadium for making comments about the Kardashians.
What a baby.
Oh my, is this going to be the new thing? Like, if you say, hey, you suck. Are they going to have you removed from the arena because we don't want you to hurt someone's feelings? That's I mean, I don't know. This is
You're paying a ticket. You're sitting courtside. That costs, what, thousands of dollars? You can't say something to these guys?
Listen,
isn't that
I think,
part of it all?
I think there is. Yes. Obviously, there can be a line that you can cross. Don't get me wrong.
But you can't touch the players. You can't throw stuff at the players. I get that. You can't...
Yeah.
Insult them now?
Well, are you going to... Should you be allowed to say, hey, I'm going to... Let's say somebody's mother just died last night. Should you say, hey, I just... F'd your dead mother's skull last night. You suck.
Like, yes. If you're paying for your ticket, they get millions of dollars. Yes.
I don't know. I think there is a line.
But the only reason he did it is because LeBron did it. He follows everything LeBron does. Yep. So he sees LeBron do it. He's like, I'm going to do it too now. LeBron's my dad.
Okay. And finally, Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson, they're going to join forces December 31st. It'll be Miley's New Year's Eve party hosted by Miley and Pete Davidson. It's going to be a star-studded lineup, special guests, and musical performances. The show will air live from Miami starting at 10:30 p.m. on NBC and live stream on Peacock. So that'll be a fun. That'd be fun. Have you ever done? I know you love Miami. Have you ever done New Year's Eve there?
I don't think so.
That'd be fun. There you go. That's the Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
After the show is the aftermath and the leftovers, but you can only get it with RMG Plus. Sign up for more show, on-demand archives, and more. RMG Plus. Get it at roverradio.com.
Yeah. Little Tykes, you know, they like make toys and they make...
Big wheels?
Yeah, they make all these like little ride-on things. They make all sorts of stuff for kids. And they made a Peloton, kind of like a Peloton bike for little kids. Here it is. It's like it looks just like an exercise bike for kids.
Ooh, it's called Pelican.
Pelican Explore and Fit something or other.
Oh, wow.
I don't like that.
So it's stationary. It's not something that just moves around the house.
Right. It's a stationary bike.
Oh, okay.
How old?
And
oh, that girl's tiny. How old is that girl? Six?
They're little.
Yeah, five?
The four, five, whatever. Three? And
it gets them into exercise early.
Yeah. Well, Dieter, that might be the idea, but everyone is
upset,
complaining Good. About this now because
it's too young.
They say that this is terrible for kids, that you are caught. Let me just give you the rundown. A, they're saying that because it's a Peloton-like bike, you can put like their tablet that has Bluetooth and it can play audio, and you can put a screen on the front of this bike, yeah. And they go, additional screen time for children is bad. Listen, yeah. I take that screen time 100 times over if they're looking at the screen while they're pedaling a bike, as opposed to just sitting on the couch eating ice cream with their iPad. Second of all, they go, this is bad for kids because you're making them feel bad about their weight. I go, what? What world are we living in where anyone would complain about this? I just saw a story where they said that I think the World Health Organization has now come out and they've said how terrible obesity is in the world and how everyone's dropping dead of obesity. So why would anyone have a problem with little Tykes having a Peloton clone bike for, you know, it's a toy, whatever, for kids? Why would that? Why is that a bad thing that you might encourage kids to be concerned about their weight? I'd rather have kids be worried about their weight than have kids be gigantic fat asses walking around.
Not at 4 years old.
Yeah.
Now, kids have baby fat that they lose. There are so many different stages. And there are things that you can do besides having an exercise bike. Like, why not go outside and ride the bike fresh air?
Because the parents won't let the kids up. My kid's going to get kidnapped.
No, you go with them.
The kid's too big. You can't even pick the kid. What kidnapper is going to be able to pick up this kid? You can't lift him. He's too big.
You let your kid go out alone riding a bike at 4? Of course not, you moron. You don't do that. You maybe go for walks. You maybe.
I did. When I was 5, I was out on my bike. I was out for hours.
I'm guessing not at
3, 4, 5 hours at a time.
Different time.
Definitely.
5 years old.
Definitely.
No way.
No, yes. As kids, I did the same thing.
Terrible parents.
We had bikes right away. BMX bikes.
Everybody did that back in the day.
Yeah.
So isn't that safer? You can keep an eye on your kid. People are working from home, so they can still do their work and watch the kid in the other room.
Well, also, what if they live in a city where they can't bike ride? Like, it's a congested city.
Like New York City?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That's too young to start getting
bike ride?
That stuff in their mind. Like, never, oh, you have to exercise.
I think you're absolutely wrong about that. No. I think that's the time that you want. I wish that I would have, when I was younger, I wish that my mother would have put more emphasis on stuff like that and eating healthy. I had a single mother who raised me on Arby's and McDonald's Happy Meals. That's
mac and cheese,
TV dinner. Yeah, the Kraft macaroni and cheese. That's that's essentially what I survived off of. Remember the old school Swanson TV dinners,
yes.
Like that greasy ass fried chicken. It's even before microwaves. You'd have to have to put that thing in like an hour, for like an hour in the oven. That's what I grew up on. That my mom didn't cook.
But Dushy, what about gym class? Don't they have gym class like first grade? Are you against gym class?
No, absolutely not. No,
gym class is
because it's socializing and it's having fun with your friends, and they don't push you in first grade. But just sit there and say, these kids are going to have enough issues when they grow up. They don't need to be forced to do exercise. Well, you got to get on your bike. You got to do exercise 20 minutes a day. Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, keeping it fun.
I actually think that's good.
No.
If you have a kid.
Not at four.
Oh, no.
It's too young.
No, this is you're absolutely wrong.
No,
if you have a 4-year old, I'm not saying you're like a drill sergeant, and you know I'm not talking about abusing your kid, but if you at the age of 4 you have a routine with your kid and you say, okay, whatever your kid's name is, Timmy, it's 6 o'clock, it's time for our 20 minutes of exercise. And every day at 6 o'clock, the kid does 20 minutes of exercise. That's a bad thing to
at
you?
At 4, 5, 6 years
no,
old.
No, that's routine.
It's a healthy habit.
Yes, it's a healthy habit. You're absolutely
right.
I'm
all for it.
I hate exercise. Exercise sucks as far as I'm concerned. It's terrible. If I would have been 4 when, you know, my mother would have drilled this into me that this is important, I would have probably liked exercise. I think it's great. And they go, these experts are like, well, kids should be out roaming the neighborhood and playing with other kids. Yeah, that's fine. I don't disagree with that. However, a lot of these parents won't let their kids out because they think they're going to get kidnapped. I got news for you. No one wants your snotty-ass kid. They're not that great. So don't be worried about them getting kidnapped.
I just think it's too young to do it, personally. And I am somebody that I have my kid in all kinds of things. She's in running club, and she is the trampoline where she jumps on with her friends.
Too young.
No, she's almost 12. She's 11 and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
But we eased into it.
Well, that's interesting, because I have seen pictures of you with Gia when she was like 3 years old, 4 years old, running those little
she's been racing
marathon
since she was 2.
Kind of things. Yeah, they're not marathons, but they're, you know.
A horrible parent.
Yeah. No. So how come, why do you allow that? What's the difference?
Because that was part of a social fun thing. I didn't have her training for it. She did a 1-mile walk since she was 2 years
why
old.
Why do it at all?
Because it was fun. She got a medal.
Fun for you, I
cookies.
Think. It seems forced.
What?
No. It seems forced, the marathon.
No, she loves running. She absolutely loves
to bike. How can you say that?
I think the problem isn't with little tykes making a Peloton-like stationary bike for little kids, 4 years old, 5 years old. I don't think that that's the problem. The problem is that in today's society, the so-called experts on child development say, that's wrong, that's bad, we shouldn't be encouraging that for kids. I think you should pull out all the stops. We're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And from a health perspective, it's going to cause nothing but more and more problems for Americans and the rest of the world, for that matter. And so I think this should be encouraged. Anything you can do to encourage kids. Chris, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
Hey, what's up?
So I listened to this segment about the kids' Peloton bike, and I think it's a great idea, for one. I've got a 5-year-old that does a lot of schoolwork at home. He's got ADHD, so we got him a set of those pedals that aren't hooked to anything, and they go under his desk, and he sits there, and it helps him concentrate, for one. He's getting some activity in there. So, and we're in Northeast Ohio. You can't ride your bike year round.
Yeah. So you have a good point there.
What
so
pedals?
You have pedals that attach underneath the desk, and he just pedals like
that stuff. Huh.
They're not hooked to anything. They're just a set of pedals on like a little metal frame on a bearing, and you just pedal away.
I've seen that late night infomercials.
Yeah,
it's for like old people. They sit on the couch and just goes up and down like 2 inches, and they just pedal their feet.
Huh. It's supposed to be exercise. That's what he's talking about. No, though.
He's talking like a bicycle, like bicycle pedals.
No, yeah, it's bicycle pedals on like a small metal frame. I found them at Goodwill. To be honest.
Oh, okay. But you can buy those.
I'm sure they're out there. But my kid just sits there and pedals, and even when he's not doing schoolwork, he'll just have excess energy and he just sits there and pedals.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Here's one of these child development experts. You can burn calories on this bike, but you can't get to know your neighbors. Parents don't want their kids to know the neighbors.
That's not true.
That is true.
That is not true.
Stranger danger.
No.
Don't talk to anyone.
Right.
That's not true.
I
love the kids in our neighborhood.
Mike in Michigan, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, what's up?
Well, my niece and nephew, they're both bigger kids weight-wise and size-wise other than their height, you know. They are both so big, they wear bigger clothes than my 9-year-old son and my almost 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah, and it's I think this is a great thing. Dieter, you exercise all the time. I don't know how you got into exercise. Who got you into it?
I think it was starting playing football in fourth grade.
Yeah.
That's when I first started to play, and then you had to do exercises every day at practice, and that just got me, I think the younger the better. And, of course, I had a bike. So those two things, I think any good childhood memory, you know, you want to go back and relive it. Because I play video games because it reminds me of my childhood. Same thing here. If you instill this at a young age, your entire life you're going to want to go back to being a child, which is riding a bike. I think this is you can't go too early.
Do you remember, Doogie? Thank you, Dieter. Yeah. I cut you off like Jeffrey.
I had a point, but go ahead.
Wait, let him do his point. What was your point?
No, she lost it.
Yeah, I lost my shot.
You cut him off.
Doogie said that it's too young to get kids worried about.
That's my point. It's never too young to do this. Never. Remember Tiger Woods start playing golf at what, 4?
2.
2!
Yeah.
Look what happened to him. The earlier the better. You're like a sponge as a kid. You just soak up information, teach a kid very young.
And Doogie goes, oh, no, it's too young. Remember that show Honey Boo Boo with that fat little kid?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Well, whatever happened to Honey Boo Boo? Dude, she goes, oh, don't worry. They lose the baby fat. Here's Honey Boo Boo today.
Oh, you have a picture? Oh, my God. Honey Boo Boo. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's Honey Boo Boo today.
That's the famous. Whoa. I don't even recognize. Oh, she used to wear glasses.
Here's the thing.
And she gained 200 pounds.
Yeah. So someone at the time, they shouldn't have gone, oh, Honey Boo Boo was too young to learn how to exercise. Someone should have said, Honey Boo Boo, get on your little Tykes Peloton and start pedaling, honey.
There are things that you try to instill in your child, like you drink water. I don't let my kid drink pop.
Ever?
No. Oh my God. No.
That's impossible for a kid never to have pop.
No, I don't. Absolutely not.
Rover.
You've never seen her drink a pop because she doesn't.
I actually just asked Gia about this because Doogie has said this many, many times that Gia doesn't drink Coke or Pepsi or anything
juice
like that.
Filled with sugar.
She doesn't have a big understanding. Well, she drinks a lot of that.
Every morning she might have the calcium in the. I have orange juice with no pulp and calcium added.
That's full of sugar.
She doesn't drink fruit juice.
No.
Look at the sugar on the orange juice.
She drinks water or this carbonated water with nothing added in it.
Well, anyhow, we were talking about something, I don't know, it had something to do with beer or drinking, or she said something about, I think maybe I mentioned Red Bull. Somebody mentioned Red Bull.
You asked her if she wanted a Red Bull and vodka. You asked her if she wanted a drink.
To a kid?
Yes. He was trying to be funny, and I'm like, stop it. It's totally inappropriate.
Jesus juice?
Yeah.
No. What were we talking about? It was not about a Red Bull vodka. She's making this up, by the way. This is a total lie. And a Red Bull came up, And she goes, she thought it was a beer. I had mentioned a Red Bull. Like, I think Gia said something like, I'm tired. And I go, you need a Red Bull? And she's like, a beer? And I go, no, no, no. Red Bull's not a beer. Red Bull is an energy drink. And she said, oh, I have a friend who drinks Red Bulls. And I said, oh, and then that made me think of what Doogie said, that Gia has never had a Pepsi or Coke or anything. So I said, have you ever had a Red Bull? And she's like, no. I go, what about a Coke or a Pepsi? Do you drink that stuff? She goes, no. So she actually doesn't drink that, believe it or not. That is one thing that Doogie...
It's just trying to set the pattern early on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
But if not saying if you drink it, you're going to be fat. It's just little things to do. But at four, again, she's older.
How much Reese's pie does she have left?
The whole thing. Did you sell yours? We haven't eaten it yet.
Well, you can't sell it now.
Why not? Oh, yeah, now, you can.
No, you can't. Yeah, I got one and I put it on eBay. Nobody bought it. That's just all a lie.
Nobody bought it?
Yeah, nobody bought it.
Seriously?
So did you eat it now?
Because you could get online and buy it for $40 at the time, you know, yourself, and get it directly from
Yeah. But aren't they all sold Hershey's? Out?
Yeah, but just buy a bunch of Reese's. I heard that too, and I was like, there's no way. So we put it on eBay. No.
You've removed it?
Nobody bid. Total lie.
I was going to try to sell it.
Well, it's getting old.
And that's why you haven't opened it? That's why you're...
Sealed.
Wow. Just eat it.
I don't want to. I'm fat enough. You eat yours?
Oh, yeah. We got like a quarter left.
Good.
It's really good.
Do you slice it like an actual pie? Yes.
Do you really? Yes,
48 slices.
Really?
Wait, is it pre-sliced? Or
No.
You have to slice it yourself.
Yeah, just like, so I don't know. I don't know what size we're doing, but it's... Yum. It's good. It's getting really wet now, though. It's really wet.
It's getting old.
Yeah. Krista quit eating it a couple days ago. It's just up to me now to see through.
Power through that.
Diet starts in January.
Because it is like, I think the peanut oils are leaking out of it.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it's just getting, the bottom is soaked. But it's good.
Shelly, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Shelly.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
So when we started talking about this Pelican bike, my brain went to... That's a mommy and me fun thing to do. Mommy's got the Peloton, and she gets up every morning and she goes and exercises on her bicycle. And we all know that the kids are trying to get on, and, you know, we don't want them to break the machine, or we don't want them to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can sit right next to mom and be an exercise with mom.
Yeah.
That is a good thing.
And people are complaining about this. I cannot believe anyone in their right mind would complain about this. It's nuts. Shelly, thank you. I appreciate it. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
Guests all in one. Rover's Morning Glory is on your smart device. Tell it to play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio. Rover's Morning Glory. Voted America's best radio show. In a poll of Rover's Morning Glory staff and f***ed up interns. Rover's Morning Glory.
Charlie, a lot of people are texting me. They say you're an idiot.
Duh.
Now,
I disagree.
They've pointed me to a few eBay auctions. Here's one that's going on that has 14 hours left for a Reese's 9-inch peanut butter cup pie. 26 bids on it. It's at $151 right now.
Well, no, I was selling mine for $275.
Oh, you put a like a buy now price on it or something?
Oh no, you let it.
You get ripped off, and you sell it for $51.
I might have to sell mine.
It's too late.
It's way too late. No, so every single Reese's cup that's packaged.
Agree, it's too late.
No, it's not.
It was in the news. Everybody's talking about it. Now you're just gonna come up. Nobody's gonna be searching that. Everybody forgot about it. Even exists.
Reese's pie.
And yeah, no, because the reason why I was trying to sell is because it was for $500. Selling it for $150, that's not. I'd rather just eat it.
And he has.
Yeah, I did.
So, and it was delicious.
It's been great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, doing all that work for
three times your money.
Three times the money, but yeah, that's I guess.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know. I'd rather just eat it.
Take the money.
How many regular Reese's can you buy? A lot with that.
Yeah. Maybe
you drink it in the luxury of the pie. I don't understand. There's a reason why.
You don't have to unwrap them. You just you cut out one slice of pie,
or
right?
Or not even slice it. I could just sit around and just eat the pie.
Just hold it with two hands.
I've been selling it for like $500. That's worth it. $275 was worth it. I don't know, $150. I guess in the if you look at it mathematically, I guess it's worth it, but I'm not going to do that.
Anyhow, so Dougie, maybe you can sell yours. Someone sent me an update on a story. I do remember we talked about this. I don't remember exactly when or exactly what everyone's take was on it, but there was a while ago, back in 2016, a guy crashed into, he hit some black ice, and he slid off the road into a mailbox, and the mailbox had been fortified. It had been reinforced because the snowplows would keep plowing this road. And when they do that, it would knock the mailbox over. And the homeowner goes, well, this sucks. I have to put my mailbox up
again
every week or two. Yeah. So he reinforced the mailbox with, I think, like a steel pole, and then maybe put like some
concrete
on the ground or something.
I remember the story. Yes. Yeah.
Anyhow, so a guy hit some black ice, and he went off the road into that mailbox. He flipped his car, and he ended up completely paralyzed. I think from the neck down, and he sued that homeowner and said, well, if they didn't have that fortified mailbox, I wouldn't have flipped my pickup truck. Now, I think the highway patrol said, well, that's not true. I thought you would have flipped either way, whether you hit that mailbox or not. But he had an accident reconstruction person on his team, and he said that, oh, yeah, I wouldn't have flipped if I didn't hit this mailbox. So it went all the way to the state Supreme Court, and what do you think the state Supreme Court ruled? Is the homeowner responsible or not responsible for this guy's quadriplegia?
I'm going to say not responsible.
Oh, see, I was going to say the opposite. That's weird. Why would you say not?
I don't know. I could see them holding him not responsible.
And you think that the homeowner should be for the reinforced mailbox?
It's his property. It's his mailbox. He can do what he wants.
It was even though it's right next to the road, Dieter?
Yeah, but it's his mailbox.
Mm-hmm. The post office, do you remember in the original story, the post office had specific guidelines for how mailboxes should be constructed and that they're breakaway, basically? You remember that?
Yeah, but that's a pain in the ass if they keep putting it back up, reinstalling it.
And I don't think it's a law. It's just a guideline. It's not a law. You know, there's no post office law. As far as I know, for creating a mailbox or putting up a mailbox. Anyhow, it was a 5-2 ruling in the Supreme Court, and they have said that the homeowner is not responsible for this.
Really?
That the homeowners have no duty to protect motorists who leave the regularly traveled portion of the road. That, you know.
Great point. Yeah, so you left the road.
If you had some sort of, like, If I lived on a street and I was, you know, if I were complaining that motorists were speeding in my neighborhood or whatever, and so I construct a giant steel wall with spikes, giant spikes, 3-foot spikes coming out of it at a particular location on my property, would that be illegal if someone was, you know, sped off the road into that and killed themselves? I guess I wouldn't be responsible for that. Huh?
Why'd they leave the road? You could put a moat around your house with crocodiles. If somebody drives off their bicycle and gets eaten by a crocodile, you left the road, buddy. That's a great point. That's your property. Isn't that the whole thing? Is you can do what you want on your house?
Well,
your land? This is America.
But Dieter, if you booby trap your home, like let's say someone is breaking into your garage, so you set up a booby trap and you booby trap it so that if the door is open, a shotgun fires and blasts someone.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
It is?
That is illegal.
It should be.
Didn't that happen in the news? Somebody had that at their front door, and I don't know if the cops went in or somebody went in, the shotgun fired when you opened the door handle. I thought that, did that guy ever get charged?
I'm guessing, yeah. You can't booby trap like
that. It's your house. If you're afraid of burglars, why can't you do that?
I don't know. I've just heard stories that you can't do that. I've seen stuff in the news that you're not allowed to set booby traps for would-be thieves. Or, you know, like if you park your car in the driveway, you can't plug it into an electrical socket to electrify the entire outside of your car so that when someone comes up, it just electrocutes them.
Well, if they're breaking in your car, why not?
Well, wait a second. So you're okay with that?
No, I'm just saying for the case, I'm just saying, like, if
but you're not okay with someone fortifying their mailbox.
I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying that if they're going to break into your car or your house, why can't you electrocute?
I think the reason is that there's too great of a danger of a kid passing by or something and who's not breaking into your car. What if a five-year-old is wandering around and touches your car?
Teaches them not to touch my car. Just kidding.
Yeah, my dad has an electric fence around the garden.
Does he really?
How come he, yeah, to keep the animals out.
Okay, but it's not going to kill a kid if he touches that electric fence, right?
But that hurts. I'm telling you.
I haven't been zapped by an electric fence since I was 5 years old. I lived in a rural area when I was five, and there was an electric fence, and I remember there was a neighbor. It was, like I said, it was a rural area. This particular neighbor didn't like kids, don't come on my property, that kind of thing. And they had, I know this is, my memory is sort of hazy because I was five, but I swear they had a bull, like a bull, B-U-L, not a bowl, like I'm eating spaghetti out of it, but a bull, B-U-L-L.
You're saying the same thing, you're saying bull.
And I remember that I was looking through the electric fence, my buddy and I, or five, looking through the electric fence at the bull.
Was it milking it?
No, I don't think you can milk a bull.
Well, something comes out.
And so I remember, like, on cartoons, they'd have that red cape, so you would...
Yeah, the matador.
Yeah, yeah, you'd wave a red cape. And I thought, because I was five, that they just didn't like... I guess bulls are colorblind, but... So they go after more the motion than they do the red cape. But I always thought red got them, like, for whatever reason, bulls just hate red.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought it had to be red. They can see red.
Yeah, they hate red, and it irritates and it makes them want to charge. So I didn't have a red cape, but I had a red bike reflector. And I was trying to shine the bike reflector.
Oh, I wish you would have... Into
the bull's eyes so that the bull would see it and charge at us. But there was an electric fence in between, so I felt kind of safe, you know?
He'd go right through that. That's not going to stop him.
It didn't charge us. But I do remember touching that electric fence because my buddy was like, that's an electric fence. And I'm like, I don't think so. So then I took like a piece of straw, like a long sort of plant kind of thing, and I went like that, and I go, I touched it to the electric fence, and it didn't do anything. I go, that's not an electric fence. He's like, touch it then. So I touched it with the piece of straw, and it didn't do anything. And he's like, well, that won't work. And I go, that would work. He goes, well, touch it with your bare hand. So then I just grab it.
Oh, no.
It doesn't shock you, like hold you in place. It just, it like hurt.
Hell yeah, it hurts.
Idiot. Well, this mailbox thing, what about a phone, a telephone pole that's in that area? It's in the same area as a mailbox is a lot of times.
Right. What if a telephone pole is not going to move?
No, exactly. If it's that, are they going to sue the city or whatever?
Right. I don't know. Well, anyhow, I guess the state Supreme Court said, hey, that's not the homeowner's fault that you hit black ice, flew off the road, flipped your car, and crashed into this fortified mailbox, and you're paralyzed. So now maybe this person will sue the city or something and say that...
I bet.
Oh, well, there was black ice. You weren't maintaining your roads properly.
Well, it was the city's fault had to enforce their mailbox because they continued to tear it down.
Oh, yeah, because the snowplow. So their shoddy snowplow work forced the homeowner to fortify their mailbox. So now,
if this radio thing doesn't work out for me, I should be a lawyer. I'm pretty smart.
Here's a guy that says, I don't know why this even came up, but 87 IQ says the boom, you're dead guy was charged and convicted. Is that true, Dieter?
Joe Horn?
Now, this is a guy. That story. There's a story. This is an old ass story. It's nothing new or relevant. There was a guy who called 911 and he said, hey, I see someone breaking into my neighbor's home. I don't know how this has anything. Oh, the booby trap.
Booby trap guy, yeah. Okay. Joe Horn. Yeah. I remember his name.
But he didn't booby trap anything. He saw his next door neighbor's home being broken into. So he calls 911 and he says, I'm going to go out there with my gun. And the 911 operator was kind of laughing like, oh, don't go out there. We're on our way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So Joe Horn goes out there and says what sounds like on the 911 call, boom, you're dead. I think he says move.
Yeah, that's why
he
said
move and you're dead.
Move, you're dead.
Right. And the guy moved, so he shot him and killed the guy, right? The burglar.
A couple times. He had a pump shotgun. He was like,
now 87 IQ says that he was charged and convicted.
No.
Is that true, Dieter?
If you look that up, I'm going to look it up right now. He got off.
Did they even charge him?
Yeah, he was charged.
He was. He went to trial then?
Why is that coming up now? That's weird.
From what I remember, yes.
Maybe the Texas dad thing? Maybe that case?
Protecting property?
I don't know. I don't know why he brought it up.
I swear that guy got off.
But you're not positive?
I can't. My computer's frozen. I can't even. Do we have the audio of that, Charlie?
If I open my sound effects stuff, the computer crashes.
Oh, yours too.
Joe Horn shooting controversy on Wikipedia. On June 30th, 2008, Joe Horn was cleared by a grand jury.
There you go.
So he wasn't even charged.
Okay. But I knew he wasn't charged.
Yeah, I don't think he was charged. Yeah, no bill after 2 weeks of testimony, meaning no charges.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't convicted. I mean, he wasn't found guilty. He got off.
Well, he wasn't even charged.
Right.
All right, I've got to take a break. We do have the shizzy coming up. The news. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
More per capita trips to the hospital than any other radio show. Put a Band-Aid on it, boys. We're back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy coming up in a moment. The news. What do you have on the way, Dougie?
When you traveled, you weren't in Munich, were you?
Yes, I was in Munich.
Just
for Oktoberfest. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I'm like, something's definitely wrong. There's breaking news coming out of Munich. So we'll talk about that next. Right.
Jeez. A couple of years since we were in Munich for Oktoberfest.
Okay.
I had a text message, Dieter. Someone believes that the guy who texted in about Joe Horn, the boom, you're dead.
Yeah.
He thinks that guy was getting confused, that he wasn't talking about Joe Horn, that he was talking about the guy who waited in his basement because his home kept getting broken into, his cabin, and he waited in the basement for the kids to break in, and then he shot and killed them on purpose after they broke in.
Yeah, what happened with that guy?
That guy, I think, might have been found guilty, I believe. Because he just waited. Like he knew they were going to break in, so he purposely just sat there waiting. And I don't even know, should that be illegal?
No, it's his house. It's his property.
I think what happened, though, he shot him and then he didn't. I don't know if he called the police after that.
Did he torture them?
I think so. I think he was, like, taking pleasure in shooting and killing them. But I would say, even if you know your home's going to get broken into, you could just, to me, if you sit in there and you wait and someone breaks in, That's fair.
I think they were kids, too.
Yeah, teenagers.
Yeah.
Because then he shoot the boy, and then the girl starts to scream, and you hear the guy laughing. He's like, see, you shouldn't have broke in.
I don't remember all the details, but... do you know how we were talking earlier about the Little Tykes Peloton bike, and we said that I didn't think it... Some people are complaining, and they say that, oh, this is setting a bad example for kids because they shouldn't be worried about their weight or burning calories or whatever, and they should have a real bike, not a stationary bike, and so on and so forth, and I didn't have a problem with it. Well, I want to point to something that shows you how much people love food, especially if it's free. This is in India, where a wedding is going on. I'm going to show you two video clips. this is video clip number one. This shows a fire that has broken out in the wedding. It's up on stage, and I think they let off some fireworks. It's almost reminiscent of the Great White event where they were playing the Station nightclub in Rhode Island, and they let off some like sparkler kind of things from the stage.
Pyro.
And it lit the whole place on fire. Well, this is a wedding that's going on in India. They have some sort of video chat, video projection or something that's going on.
Robert, I'm not sure if these videos are the same.
Oh, they're not the same?
I'm pretty sure they are. I just saw this first one, or the video projection thing,
yeah,
like a week ago, and then I saw this other one, and I think they're the same videos, but I'm not exactly sure.
Just two different angles? Okay.
They could be.
I thought that's why you put them in
there. Well, I did, but I'm just guessing that they're the same thing.
All right.
Well, they seem similar.
Here is... So let's just show you what happens first with the fire, and then I'll show you another clip. Here is a fire breaks out here. You can see here they have the... They have the sparklers. People are dancing, and now they're like, oh, no, this stuff above the stage has...
Oh, no.
Stuff above the stage has caught on fire, and
it's
now
like
it's like a
drape.
Sheet oh. kind of thing.
They have all this crap hanging, like tassels of stuff.
Look at how fast it's going.
Oh, yeah, that's spread quickly.
Is she laughing?
You know what? I don't think this is the same video.
You think this is a different video?
Yeah.
Why is she laughing?
Yeah, this doesn't look like India, Charlie.
Yeah, it looks like you're right. Ferns up there that are catching fire.
And why are they spraying the fire extinguisher
fire?
Yeah, they're trying to...
They're not even getting the fire.
Well, they can't... Oh, now God. The whole thing's going to fall down?
This is terrible.
Did you imagine this was your wedding day? Because it looked like they were doing the first dance, the bride and the groom.
Oh, I thought it was the father-daughter dance.
And now the whole place is caught on fire, ruined the wedding.
What event planner okays fireworks? Like, you think that...
They probably didn't know. It wasn't the band.
Oh, no. It's falling down. And, that is certainly...
It might be. They were speaking a foreign language.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the same event, the same wedding or not, but I want to take you to this second video where there's a raging inferno going on in the background. And this guy, apparently they had a buffet at the wedding, and this guy goes... I got to keep eating my food.
Well, it's also, this is the move, because sometimes those buffet lines, especially with the old people, they take forever. So as soon as everybody clears out for the fire, you can go up and get some extra stuff.
So here you see here where the fire is raging in the background, and these guys just continue eating.
Oh, he even
I guess
at
no
it.
Audio. Oh, yeah, they know that the fire is going on. Yeah. He turns around, he looks, he goes, oh, there's a raging inferno back there. But I'm going to keep eating my food. I mean, he doesn't even get up.
Yeah. He barely turns to look at it.
He's like, I got time to eat.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, that's insane. And he's not even using silverware either. He's like eating meatballs with his hands. You find that odd?
Yes.
No, I think they do that over there.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a
custom.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fire.
Nothing
fire
wrong with that, right?
No,
Theater,
of course.
You have to. Can't say it's weird because, well, that's marginalizing people over there and the way that they eat with no utensils.
I love eating with my hand. Rice with my hands, I love it. No, if there was free beer,
That'd be Dieter.
With the fire? Yeah, I would stay. I'll stay through a fire for free beer.
Did you see how quickly this fire, in the first video that we saw, just how quickly the...
Terrible design.
I mean, that just...
Well, yeah, with Christmas coming up, have you seen how quick a Christmas tree can go up and it spreads through the whole living room?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 30, 45 seconds. It could go up like that and spread. You don't realize how fast
That's because those live trees that people use in their houses are dried out, so it catches so one good spark, it goes up in smoke.
Do you worry about that?
I don't have a live tree, dude.
I use
an artificial tree. Well, this year, we're going to look around for a fiber optic tree.
By the way, this lady does laugh as the whole place is burning up. Some lady in this video does laugh.
I think I would laugh. As long as everybody's okay.
No, but people are still in there. I mean, somebody could die.
You saw how slow people, like, people watch this. So if you watch the rest of this video, the whole place is on fire.
This lady grabs her purse.
Where are the sprinklers?
Take your time.
And watch how slowly some of these people move out.
They got time.
Yeah, that's what you think until the fire consumes the entire place.
No sprinklers in this hotel?
I don't know.
Obviously not.
I don't know where this is.
Wow.
Sprinkler isn't going to... I mean, that's...
Yeah, they are. Sprinkler's going to put that out from the ceiling. Of course it is.
I don't think so.
Of course it is. Over.
Anyhow, I wanted these two guys here. Like, look how slowly... Did I get to this yet here?
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Watch how slowly these guys, they're just like, how slowly they're walking out, just so casually.
Rover would be pushing people over.
Climbing like George Costanza.
After I saw that Station nightclub fire, the Great White, we've all seen that.
Yeah.
Once I saw that, and you saw how quickly, I mean, it was a matter of 30 seconds before it was complete. It just took over the building, and people were, you know, at first people were kind of like, same thing. They were laughing just like that until they were dead. And once I saw that, I've even had conversations with my wife about it.
Look, here's what we do. You push everyone out of the way.
You're light. I'm going to use you as a battering ram. We've talked about this before because we travel quite a bit and she believes we're going to get caught up in a terrorist attack at some point. And so we've had discussions about what to do in a terrorist attack, what to do in a, like a nightclub fire sort of thing. And so when we go into a place, especially some place we've never been before, a crowded thing, whatever, we try to figure out how we would get out of here if necessary, like if pandemonium.
This is what you say, like right when you walk into a wedding, like, okay, if
assess
if this is gonna burn, we're gonna use that exit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Terrorists coming through here, you gotta leave this way. You take note of where the exits are. Is that a weird...
How'd that work for the people in that Pulse nightclub? They didn't, you think if they would have assessed, isn't that where the guy came in and shot everything up?
Uh-huh.
They didn't know where anything was coming from. It's dark. You don't know
that's
where
exactly
to go.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
You don't know where it's
that's
coming
the
from.
Point. That's
he's
what
saying
I'm
saying. If they're coming from this way, we're going to go this way. And
right.
If it's this way,
if you know that you have
you don't know where it's coming from for the third time. You don't know where to go. You just hide.
There's human nature and what happened in what happens in fires. For instance, if you enter a building, especially if you're unfamiliar with the building, and something goes down, human nature, your basest brain wants you to exit the way you came in. Even though there might be an exit very near you, very close to you, for whatever reason, your brain's first response is, it knows, well, I came in this way, we should leave that way. You don't want to take any chances. You go, I know there's an exit that way. There may be one 4 feet away, but I know there's one 100 feet away that way. And so if you think about it in advance, just like when you're on an airplane, they say, We're going to have the lighted pathways to the exits. Keep in mind, the nearest exit may be behind you. Now, I've never been in a plane crash, but I know that if there was a plane crash and it was the kind that, you know, a crash landing or something, you could survive, whatever. People aren't going to go to an exit behind them. They're just like it's not human nature to do that.
Rushing to the front.
That's why, like, I'm pushing people. I'm climbing over seats. All bets are off at that point. Get the hell out of my way. So I'm crazy for trying to determine in advance where I would go in case of an emergency.
It's a little odd.
No, when I go to a movie theater, I just want the one. I look at the exit, so I see there's two in the front. Here, I can go out that way if I have to, if something would happen.
Especially after those movie theater shootings.
That's right. Well, before that, I never did that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look around at all. I watched the movie. Now, right away when I sit down, I'm picking out spots.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, looking at the exit, that's one thing. But, like, having a whole game plan. If there's a fire, we're going to do this. If there's a terrorist attack, we're going to do this. That's a little odd.
Yeah, I like to be a little prepared. And you know what would happen is you can plan for that, and then it hits the fan, and all those plans just go out the window.
That's what I said. You call me crazy.
Here's a Christmas tree that Dio brought up. You want to see?
There's
a timer next to it.
Okay, all right. Just the fire department telling you what a warning. By the way, I think they juice those.
I know.
What, they put a gasoline? They dunk it in gasoline?
Dieter, here's the thing. You have to look at the messenger. And the messenger in this case is the fire department, and they're like, "Hey, your Christmas tree is super dangerous." They're not gonna pick the Christmas tree that takes forever to light on fire, right? They're gonna pick dry as a bone. They're gonna go out. They're gonna get a Christmas tree. They're gonna let it sit for 4 weeks with no water until that thing is dry and brittle as can be, and then they're gonna light it on fire and say, "See, look what could happen." You don't think so?
No,
you don't
think
they try and juice it?
Maybe a little bit, because some people don't water their trees, right? Those live trees.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
Well, I don't have one. But I can see some people being lazy and it dries out. They forget to put water in it. So this could happen.
Yes.
All right. Let's see.
Why they get dried out?
Hold on, Charlie.
You don't think they dry out ever, Rover?
Of course they do.
People are lazy.
No. I know, and they dry out even if you do put water in there.
Okay.
But, hold on, Charlie is. Answering a phone call here, so he's going to play this video here in just a second. Give me a minute. Pilot X says, "Don't ever wear flip flops on a plane."
Yep, I've read that.
I learned that. Yeah, after I know that.
Yeah, because
Rover.
Yeah, that's right. I had because no idea. I learned that. I read about a flight attendant who survived a plane crash, and this flight attendant, I don't remember what airline it was. She's been. I think it was actually the Sioux City, Iowa crash. Long, long time ago. And she survived, and she said, "Listen, you know what's nuts is that they have us wearing these, I don't know if they're high pumps, whatever the hell those shoes are. I just noticed it on the plane I was on the other day. And I looked at it, I go, why do they make the flight attendants wear these?
To sexualize the flight attendants.
No, but they're not
of course they're not
like high heels.
No, but
like
they're
high
still
heels
little...
would be sexy. No. These are like grandma shoes, like
thick,
they're just
like a thick heel.
It's like a mini.
They're like pumps.
I don't know what that is.
They're not sexy, and they're certainly not functional.
It's not our job.
I looked at them and I go, they should just put like tennis shoes on these flight attendants.
Yes.
They'd be so much more comfortable.
Yeah,
it doesn't look good.
So the flight attendant, she was campaigning for years after this, and she could never get them to change their dress code. For whatever reason, the airline didn't. They go, "No, we want these shoes." She said, "Listen, when we got in this plane crash, my shoes flew off because I'm wearing these standard issue, mandatory shoes, slip-on pumps that the airline requires of us stewardesses." At the time, they were stewardesses. Now they're flight attendants. And she said, "Then it was just twisted metal. And I'm trying to get out of there, but my feet are getting all cut up because I have no shoes on."
Right. I'm sure there's fire. Things are hot.
Yep. She said the other thing is they require the flight attendants to wear pantyhose. And the pantyhose are made out of some sort of
nylon that
ignites. It's like a synthetic material, I guess. And it just, the heat just melts any synthetic fabric that you have on, just melts it right into your skin. So you're supposed to. Don't wear flip-flops and wear natural fibers, cotton, when you're on a plane. And the off chance that you are in a plane crash, that oh thank God he was wearing cotton, he survived. D, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, D.
Hi, I agree with you, Rover, 100% about your brain going into like survival mode when there's an emergency that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good 20 years ago. My husband was at the store. We had had newborn babies. We had twins that I had just put to bed. It was the middle of winter, and we had a three-year-old at the time, too. I had gone upstairs, laid them down, and I noticed as I was putting the bottles away in the kitchen that there was smoke coming up from downstairs in the basement. And as I looked to peek down, we have to look down into the basement, that there was an ember that had popped out of the fireplace. We had a pool screen to mm-hmm. cover the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It popped out, and the whole wall had popped out and burst into flames.
Oh, boy.
So I ran upstairs. I grabbed the babies, just instinct pulled in, grabbed the babies, tucked them under my arms. I ran for my daughter. I said, grab the back of my shirt. And by the time I got to the top of the stairs, I could not see the thick black smoke. I could not see in front of me.
It was that so my brain, fast.
It was that quick. The house had totally been engulfed. I could not see in front of me. So my brain said, go front, go walk straight, walk down the stairs. And I'm telling my daughter, hold on to the back of my shirt. My babies are underneath my arms. Walk down the stairs, turn right, open the door. I mean, telling myself, just walk out the stairs because my husband is at the store. And I pulled myself out of the house, pulled her out. I somehow nudged the door shut behind me. Don't ask me how I did it. And I'm walking barefoot. We're walking barefoot through the snow to my neighbor's house. I'm kicking the door to my neighbor's house. And he opens the door, and I said, Bill, please call the fire department. My house is on fire. And just as I handed him one of the babies, and I grabbed my daughter by the back of the shirt, threw her in the house, and brought in my other baby, just as I heard my windows blow out of my house.
Mm.
That's how much had built up pressure in the house. And it was like, I mean, it felt like an eternity, but a few minutes later, we hear the sirens come out. And then, you know, long story short, the fire chief comes over, makes sure everybody's okay. All the babies are, you know, the babies were fine. He comes in and the fire chief says, how did you think to close your front door? And I said, I have no idea. And he says, because that's what probably saved the outside structure of your house from the cold air coming in and feeding it.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
And the flame retardant Christmas tree that we had at the time saved the upper level because the fire fed on the tree to save the upper level from also burning in. I mean, it was so hot, the smoke detectors, and we didn't have cordless phones at the time, but the landline was melted into the wall. It was so hot.
Well, I'm glad everyone got out because I think people underestimate how fast a fire will move.
Yeah. Wait, did you have a fire detector? Like you said,
we had one on the upper level, the bottom level, and that's when they were going off. I mean, the minute I went downstairs and saw the smoke, we heard the shrill of it. Yeah.
Okay.
D, thank you. Wow. I appreciate it. Charlie, what video did you have for me?
Oh, this is the Christmas tree that goes up. So this is an unwatered Christmas tree.
Unwatered.
And I think they set it up with like a light on the inside.
Said they juice it.
Can't see it.
You can't see this? Right, let me try again.
It's unwatered. Show a watered one. You should have a watered one they versus might. Unwatered.
It still will go up.
Can you see Yetsnitz?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
All right, not watered. Here we go.
You can see the little spark in the timer. Spark.
There's the spark.
What caused the spark?
Well, they obviously. They caused the spark.
Shorted it or something.
Yeah, shorten the light maybe. Oh, 10 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
It already hit the ceiling.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, look at that.
Yeah, your whole house is gone. I mean, that is nuts, isn't it?
So that's in the front room of the front of the house.
Oh, and at this point, you go. See, I think the other thing people underestimate is it's not there's toxic gases that get to you, right, too. It's not the smoke, but the toxic gas will make you pass out.
What are those fireworks?
There's the black smoke.
Did you hear
40
that?
Seconds.
Things are probably the Christmas tree lights are, you know.
There's like a bottle rocket's going off.
Exploding as they heat up.
Yeah, I always use a real tree, too.
Do you really?
Here's a watered one.
Okay.
All right, this one's watered daily.
Hey, we heard the spark.
All right, we heard the spark.
Oh, still. Still pretty quick.
Oh.
What?
Wait, hold on.
All right. I can't read it because they put these things over.
I hate that YouTube does that. They put like a thing on top of. Okay, so what did they say? So
here we go. Maybe this is a.
So this is a watered versus unwatered. All right, we're watching. Oh, what difference does it make at this point? I mean, even the watered is just your whole house is going to burn down no matter what.
Yeah, but if you see that, I could have gone and grabbed
my. You can escape faster, I guess.
Well, also, I could have gone and grabbed my.
Extinguisher?
Yeah, and put that one on the right out. So water your Christmas
tree. Yeah, there is time for that.
I mean, I definitely can put that out.
That's a big fire.
Still pretty scary.
It is scary,
even on the watered tree. You're going to put that out?
Yes. I would have had time to grab it and put it that out. The one on the left, with that's unwatered, absolutely not.
I've thought about that, too. Like,
do you have a fire extinguisher?
I have fire extinguishers, but then I go, where is the fire extinguisher? I've had to think about that before.
It's
in the pantry. One's in the pantry, and I don't know where the other ones are.
You should know that. I just recently tested.
I don't think I have one.
My daughter. Where? If there's a
not
fire,
the
what do you do?
Nope. I think you should have one.
You should.
I think, I think we talked about this like 4 years ago, and I was like,
I'm going to go out to Home Depot and get a fire extinguisher.
You said that, and you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I totally forgot about it.
I know in my hallway at home, we have like a, I think it's a hose. I know there's a big giant fire closet, so I'm assuming there's a hose in there. I maybe should check.
Like, because you live in a high rise.
High rise, yeah.
The thing is,
go
could you use that? And I don't even know if that's available for you to use or if the fire department has to use that.
Yeah, look, that's I'd be curious.
Because I've even thought, like, would I even know how to use the stupid fire extinguisher? Yes, it's a fairly simple process. But when you're in a panic situation, all bets are off that you're going to be able to figure that out.
And I thought the same thing for my daughter. What if she doesn't know how to use it? I bought a big bottle spray that sprays and spreads everything, all of this material that smothers the fire. So maybe you should dumb your extinguisher down and get that.
I don't even know what I have, but it's probably time for a new one now that I think about it, because you can't, I think they expire after a
while. They do?
Yeah.
The fire extinguisher?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a date on them.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't have one, so I didn't know that.
This is what I'll get everyone for Christmas.
I'll pass, nice. Thanks.
Fire extinguishers.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
take
sure.
It. $20.
All right, I've got to take a break. I do want to play you a video. Speaking about a panic situation, I have to give these kids credit. These kids were smart.
What kids?
These kids were a school shooter was trying to outsmart them, and they outsmarted the school shooter. I'll play you this video. It just happened yesterday. Well, it's incredible. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
Podcasts all in one. Dumb down your smart device with Rover's Morning Glory. Tell it to play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio. Welcome back to the world headquarters of fake news, misinformation, and embarrassingly obvious lies. Rover's Morning Glory.
Earlier, Dougie mentioned a school shooting in Michigan during the shizzy. And three people were killed. Three students were killed. There's another that might pass away, clinging to life on a ventilator right now. I think more than 12 people injured, roughly. They've identified the school shooter, a student, but I haven't seen the person's name. I'm sure it's out there if you search for it. I don't know. So the shooter killed a football player and then two girls. Apparently, the football player, now, you know, these stories, they always sort of change, and who knows if it, how accurate it is, the first thing, but they're saying that the football player tried to disarm the shooter.
Oh, really?
And then he was shot and killed.
That was Tate Meyer, 16-year-old.
Yeah. Now, there is a petition going around for Oxford High School, where this happened in Michigan, to rename their football stadium in at the Tate Meyer Stadium, and 32,000 people have signed that. What the hell is wrong with you? Okay, that's great. If they do that, so be it. But really, within 4 hours of a school shooting and this guy is killed, you're going to... You go, we should start a petition and have them rename the football stadium, Tate Meyer Stadium.
Why not?
And 32,000 people sign that?
I'll sign it if it's true.
Let's breathe first.
That's the least of our concerns.
Right.
Oh, I think
if they
important.
Do it, great. If they not, but the first, that's the first, your
that's
first
thing
instinct
on my
is,
list.
Oh, no. Come on.
If he's a hero, he charged the shooter. He probably saved a bunch of lives.
Okay, but
he may have, but yes. Who cares what they name the stadium? These poor, he's dead and these other two girls are dead.
Matters to me.
That's a petition to rename the stadium?
Give it to me. I'll sign it right now.
Like the people at the school are going to go, oh, you know, hey, I know we had a school shooting here yesterday, but did you see there's a petition to rename the stadium? Let's work on that. Get the hell out of here. Bye. People are so self-absorbed. You got to worry about naming the football stadium. Yes, Jeffrey. What is it? Oh, he has his aviators on. Jeffrey does.
Hasn't taken them off all day.
Sweet. Looks good.
I was going to reiterate what you said, that I think the student safety should be put above renaming a stadium.
But there's...
I mean, I think just think that 4 hours after this happened is a little too soon. I think you need to worry about, is everyone else safe? How can we prevent this in the future?
The shooting's
stuff
over.
Like that. Yeah,
the shooting's over. Everybody's safe
it
now.
It is, but it's just like, to me,
but Dieter,
maybe I'm crazy. It's the last thing you should worry about, right?
How to prevent this stuff in the future. How many school shootings have we talked about in the last 11 years?
A lot.
All right.
But this, we should be able to rename the football stadium. It's not going to hurt anything.
But
is that the first thing that comes to your mind, Dieter? That's like,
if that's the top story we should take away. He charged the shooter.
It's
the top headline of the story. When you search for the story, it says...
That's a name.
Six
months from now, if you want to start that petition, go ahead. But
you just said Tate Meyer was his name.
I didn't name him so that you could talk about naming the stadium. That's irrelevant. Do you want the names of the two girls that were dead too?
Yes.
I'm just saying that's the least...
You guys are making it seem like, oh, we shouldn't do that. It's not hurting anything if they want to do this, especially the students.
It's so inconsequential. These poor kids are dead.
Yeah.
And you got to worry. And I love 32,000 people thought, I got to put my name on that petition.
I'm opening
it's just
it up
so
right now.
Ridiculous. The kid who was killed, Tate Meyer, he's 16. Hannah St. Juliana, she's 14. And 17-year-old Madison Baldwin, shot and killed. All three of them shot and killed.
And the shooter is alive and in custody.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and I don't know what you're going to talk about or where you're going with this, one of the things when it started to unfold, there were some kids that had said they had heard something's going down. There was some stuff going down prior to this, and they even sent an email to parents saying everything's good, everything's cool. And I thought, oh, that school is screwed now. Because did you see that part of the story?
Okay. I know she speaks in code, so let me decipher what she just said. Yes. Here's Doozy's version is, there was some stuff, and people were like, whoa, and they were like, ah, and I was
you
like,
said
ah.
To talk natural. That's how I talk, dude.
So there was some vandalism at the school about 2 weeks ago. Someone threw a deer head off of the roof or something, and then sprayed some, splattered some red paint on the windows.
Yeah.
Police say totally unrelated. They found out who did that has nothing to do with this school shooting.
But there were some rumblings about a shooting.
Horses.
Oh, my God.
She can't let you speak.
I know. Oh, man.
Just telling you.
So it's one thing at a time, though. Let me finish what I just started. So police, that's kind of stuff happens at high schools all the time. Vandalism. And, you know, that's probably like an almost everyday occurrence. Something weird is going on. Totally unrelated. There was rumors on social media that there was going to be a school shooting or some sort of shooting. The police say we were never informed of that in advance. We're aware that this now has been brought to our attention. We're investigating it. So maybe the kid was saying, I'm going to shoot this place up. I don't know. But authorities apparently were not alerted to that. And I don't know if indeed if it was that kid or what the story is. But I also kind of have a feeling that, do I think that that's real common? No, probably not real common. But I also don't think it's super uncommon for rumors and things to go around. This school had almost 2,000 students. So there's just a lot of, on a daily or weekly basis. I remember when I was in high school, there's always stuff. Did you hear this? Did you know? Oh, this is good. None of it ever panned out. Never.
I didn't hear any of that stuff in my high school. Did you?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Are you kidding? Well, really?
It's been a door.
No, I don't know. It's something that's just so nonchalant that it should be like, oh, there's a shooting. I heard this. Like that, obviously, principals and people should be involved. No, but there
were always like the weird goth kids who were wearing trench coats, kind of like the Columbine people, before Columbine even. There were always like these weird kids, and they were always like, oh, they're going to do something crazy. They're going to shoot the school up. Like, anyhow, unfortunately, this Madison Baldwin, she was killed 17. Her grandmother had posted on Facebook, my granddaughter, Madison Baldwin, cannot be located. Madison is 17 and a senior at Oxford High School. Our family are out on foot trying to find her and bring her home safely. She's not answering her cell phone or text messages. She was not in her psychology class during the shootings where she was scheduled to be. No contact with her mother, father, stepmother, grandparents, aunts, friends, or her boyfriend. And said, please, if you know where she is, let us know. Unfortunately, she was one of those that was killed. Mm. And
so what happened? So this kid walks in, sophomore.
I think that all of,
she can't wait.
I know
she.
Well, I'm curious. I'm it's patient. A natural flow of a conversation.
Not, I'm trying to.
You're weaving.
I'm getting to the video. That's what she wants. She wants me to play this video.
I've not seen the video. I'm trying to get the basics of the story.
Read. You have the article in front of you.
We're not here to read. We're here to talk.
I wish you wouldn't.
God. Jesus.
She can't keep her mouth shut.
I know.
It's something.
I don't know how the kid went. Did he go in the back entrance? I don't know, douchey. Does that have anything? No one knows. That's not in the news. I don't know. Who knows?
Don't be all bitchy to me. God.
No, it's just not, it's you're not relevant not to the relevant. Story. I'm in the middle of reading this post from the grandmother who's searching for her 17-year-old who ends up dead. And she's like, so yeah, what did he I do? Did he go in, what did he do? He just went in and shot? Yes, I'm guessing. Yes. There is video from inside the school. And so shooting takes place. The kids are in their classroom. They've probably gone through active shooting drills in the past. And so they go, okay, we have to barricade the door. And they do. They barricade the door. And they're waiting. They haven't heard. They don't know what's going on. But then the police come to the door and say, all right, you can come out. Here is video from inside the classroom. And listen carefully. By the way, this kid is just like drinking. He's got his Coke. He's like giving a thumbs up, as you know, like high school kids are doing there. Like, look at this kid. He's in the middle of a school shooting and he's just like, sweet.
The guy's laughing.
Oh my God.
They don't know what's happened at this point. So all the kids are sitting on the floor. Now the police, you can hear knocking on the door. Listen carefully. All the students are barricaded in. Listen carefully.
Sheriff's office. Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we're here. Yes.
Sheriff's office. You're safe to come out.
Sheriff's office. You're safe to come out, he says.
And that's the teacher.
Teacher's at please the door.
Just, okay.
Please just let me play the.
You're safe to come out.
Yeah, he said it's safe to come out.
Now, we're not willing to take that risk right now.
I can't hear you.
We're not taking that risk right now.
Okay, well, come to the door and look at my bag, bro.
No. Yeah, bro.
Come yeah. to the door and look at my badge, bro, is what the supposed sheriff's office says. So it's actually the school shooter there outside the door. They've barricaded the door. The teacher is in there, and he knocks on the door and says, sheriff's office, a few different times, sheriff's office. It's and then he goes, and the teacher's like, yeah, we're in here. And he goes, okay, sheriff's office, you're safe to come out now. And the teacher wisely says, well, we're not willing to take that risk right now.
Why did he say that?
And the school shooter goes, well, come out here and look at my badge, bro. Like a sheriff deputy.
They talk like that.
Yeah. Hey, dude, check out my badge, bro. It's sweet. So obviously the kids, like the kids were duped there at first.
They're like, oh, you it's hear safe.
That? Yeah. Let's oh, go. He said it's safe to come out.
Yeah.
And then the kids are like, no, he just said, bro. They picked up on that very quickly. Listen carefully once again, and then I'll let it play out.
Yes. Sheriff's office. It's safe to come out.
Yeah, he said it's safe to come out.
Now, we're not willing to take that risk right now.
I can't hear you.
We're not taking that risk right now.
Okay, well, come to the door and look at my bag, bro.
No.
Yeah, bro.
He said bro. Red flag.
Yeah. And then every one of these kids gets up.
Oh, my gosh.
Go.
And they all start like going through the window or whatever to get out.
Oh my god!
And run away.
Slow down, you're fine.
And then they get the actual
sheriff. There is.
They get the actual sheriff's office.
Oh, this is just...
Now you can see there are an actual a lot of sheriffs around. Now, what would be weird is this is the story we've gotten is that it's a shooter. I saw this even yesterday, right after the shooting. What if it actually was a sheriff? Do we know that it was the school shooter impersonating the sheriff?
Saying bro?
I don't know.
I think that's the shooter.
Because there are a lot of sheriff deputies there. You can see them here.
What kind of window do they jump out of? It's large. I thought they're going to have to like squeeze through one of those like slanted windows in most schools. There was like a second door in the classroom. It looked like they were running out of.
You know, speaking of a hero, is that teacher.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he didn't open that door.
Right.
The guy's just like, no, it's safe to come out. And the teacher's like, we're not going to take that risk.
Yeah. What made him say that? Like, because he saved all those kids' lives.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Is there a special code that the sheriff normally says to them? Are they trained in a special word or phrase that he didn't use?
Yeah. I bet that's it. Something.
I don't know. I think certainly the bro was a... Now, what will be interesting is if we will get a press conference today... And they say, oh, that actually was a sheriff's deputy.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You think that was the shooter?
Yeah.
Every
news article I read said
that was the shooter.
Right, but that's just coming from the kid who was inside the classroom.
No, every news article said it was the shooter.
The genesis of the story was a parent who went on a television station there. And he says, hey, my kid sent me this video and it was the school shooter trying to impersonate a sheriff to come in. It came from the student to the parent who tells the news to now it's in every news story. If that may not be actual fact, and we've talked about this in school shootings before, that the first reports and the first things that you take as fact are not necessarily fact. Oh, there were two shooters. I saw three people running through the courtyard. They all had guns. And then it turns out it was actually only one. There are a lot of things. There's misinformation that runs rampant in the beginning. Now, it's possible. It's totally possible that that is the school shooter. And very well, you know, it may be.
The way he's trying to get in, too, with the door handle. You hear it. He's like jiggling it. He's like, let me in. I can't hear you.
I know, but here's the thing. Here's what makes me wonder if it is. Because if you go through this video, you can see in the rest of the school, they actually are doing that. The sheriffs are like going door to door here in these hallways in the other part of the school. So I don't.
Well, maybe he's trying to get away from them.
Maybe. It's possible. It's possible. I'm just saying, don't be surprised if we find out that it wasn't. It is weird that he said bro, though.
Yeah, that right there. And the kid's like, it's a red flag.
Yeah.
That's the shooter.
That's how they all talk.
They all say. They said that he went into the bathroom and came out with a weapon that he got from his home.
Richard in Florida, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Richard. Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Rover.
Hey, man.
Hey, so my question is why don't we just charge the parents? I mean, if we can't do anything about the guns, let's do something about the freaking parents. I mean, I've only seen four parents be charged since this started happening.
Well, here's the thing. And in this particular case, and again, early information, is that the father actually bought the Sig Sauer handgun that was used in this school shooting 4 days ago.
Yes.
And we don't know why the father bought the gun or what the story was, if he even bought it for the son or if he bought it for himself. But the school shooter ended up posting stuff on social media of him doing target practice with this very handgun within the past couple of days. And then he walks into the school and starts shooting people. Now, the father, if there was any sort of red flag, I would say, yes, of course, he charged the parents. But, you know, I don't know if you can. You know, our justice system just doesn't work that way. If your kid does something wrong, if your kid goes in and shoplifts, I don't think the parents should necessarily be charged.
The latest, if the Michigan cops, they went to the parents' home, armfuls of weapons.
Of guns.
Of
just
guns
bringing
out of the house. So I'm guessing there's more to it.
Why can't we just charge people, the ignorant people? I mean, because
if the parents did anything wrong, if they did something illegal, if they had guns that weren't properly purchased or whatever, or they were providing access to the kid when he shouldn't have had, they will be charged. I mean, people are dead. They will be charged too little too late, I suppose. But, you know, we're going to hear stories. Oh, there were red flags. This kid was weird. He did this. He did that. And, you know,
the parents, I guess, are not cooperating. The kid's not cooperating. Parents are telling the kid, don't talk to anyone. I'm guessing maybe that's a lawyer.
Well, you have
move.
Your right to do that. If you commit a crime or you're accused of committing a crime, you have the right not to speak, the right to remain silent.
But if your kid just killed all those people,
I'm just speaking. I don't know. Maybe the parents are weirdos too, but let's just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're normal parents. I think you would be so in shock if your kid went and committed a heinous crime. I think you would be so in shock that it takes you a while to process what has happened. So I think the parents should cooperate with the authorities. You bet your ass. I think they should. I can't fault them for telling the kid, don't say anything. I think I would tell my kid the same thing. Dieter, I think your dad would have told you that. Like, if you did something, to me, that's just keep quiet for now. We'll see what happens. You know, tomorrow, you know, we'll get a lawyer. We'll see whatever. You know, you don't know what has happened at this. It's hard for you to even believe that your child could do something like this, I think.
They did get an attorney already.
Yeah. Obviously, we will find out more information. But they had no metal detectors in this school, and I don't know if that would have helped. By the way, probably not. I mean, there's 2,000 kids in and out every day. How they're going to learn if you really want to get a weapon into a school, I think you'd find a way to get a weapon into a school. You do it after hours when the metal detectors aren't being, I mean, manned. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's just all, and you'd put it in your lot. There's all sorts of ways that you could make that happen. So I don't know if that is the answer either.
I hope they don't charge him as a juvenile. That's crazy. 15 years old. They need to
charge. Is that how old the shooter is? Yeah. He's 15?
He needs to be charged as an adult.
And have they named him? Have they said, what do we know about him?
Because he's in juvenile detention right now, or they're holding him, they have not named him.
But everybody knows who he is.
Then you can find it.
Yeah, you can find it easily.
I haven't searched, but I mean, I don't have a problem naming him. Who is it?
Well, some guy named Edgar or something.
Edgar?
Know. Yeah. I think that's his name off the top of my head. Yeah, you can find pictures of him. Yeah, like even he might have even had a countdown clock on his Instagram. It said the devil's coming tomorrow.
Oh. Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And then somebody came out and said, you know, the kid was super bullied already. He's like really picked on a lot. So I'm not sure if that's true.
Yeah, I would just caution you. Any sort of information that you get in the very early on, just like the football player who supposedly charged the guy and tried to disarm him. That story may not end up to be, you know, that's what goes around like wildfire. You hear these stories, and that may not even turn out to be true. Maybe it is. I don't know. Or maybe that was the shooter outside pretending to be a sheriff's guy. Possibly. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. But I just can't think of too many things that would be worse than sending your kid to school. And even if your kid was uninjured, comes back. But think of once you hear about this, there's a school shooting. If you were unable to reach your child for a while, or that panic that you would have, yeah. It's just...
Yeah.
His name wasn't Edgar. It's Ethan.
Ethan. Right. Okay, Ethan.
But look, look, this is apparently from his Instagram. Let me see here if we can see that. It says there's a countdown clock there, and it says Return of the Devil.
Is that him?
Yeah, and I think you did something with a deer head or something weird.
Yeah,
with
you said
No, but the police say that was. See, that's why I'm saying the info you get is bad.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying it could
be
bad.
The deer head, someone 2 weeks ago threw a deer head off the roof of this school.
Here's the
vandalism
of the cop picking up the deer head.
Yeah. And the police yesterday said totally unrelated, has nothing to do with this. So I'm guessing the police know who did that, and they fessed up. Yeah, I threw the stupid deer head off the school, and it was not this kid. Has nothing to do with it. Or who knows? Maybe that information is bad.
Charlie, that countdown that you guys had up on RMG TV, did that coincide with what happened yesterday? I'm guessing it did. So they knew something was going to happen, I wonder?
I guess. But again, you say they knew something was going to happen. You have 2,000 kids at a school who are posting weird stuff on social media all the time.
I know, but
that could
again,
be a countdown clock, too. I'm going to release a SoundCloud song that I made. I mean, there's stuff like
rumors.
That. You have no idea
I
what
know,
it
but
is.
There were
in hindsight,
that something
you go,
was
yeah,
happen.
You should have known the devil's coming.
There was some kids that stayed home because they're like, some stuff's going. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's just scary.
This is a picture of the kid? Ethan, I don't know if this is him. Ethan Crumbly is what someone
says. Well, that's not the kid in the Instagram.
No, I know.
So I don't know if any of this is true.
Yeah, in the Instagram, it was a black kid, right?
Yeah.
This is a white kid with glasses.
Where'd you come up with that name, Charlie? Was it in the, did you?
Where are you getting a black kid from?
In the Instagram
post. The Instagram post.
Oh, that's just a picture of somebody. No, this is.
Oh, that was a, I thought it was a selfie.
Oh, I thought you said that was a kid.
No.
Oh.
Well, Ethan, I mean, there are pictures.
I think this is him right here.
As a young boy.
That's supposedly what he.
That kid?
That's supposedly him. I don't know. Again, who knows what kind of info this is.
And no, just because he has glasses is not Charlie.
No.
Yeah. It's a young Charlie.
Someone sent me I always get Charlie pictures. People go, look, Charlie, here's a mugshot. Charlie must have been arrested. What did he do? And it's just a guy with glasses on in a mugshot.
A guy with glasses, yep.
You look like everyone with glasses. I've got to take a break. 866-YO-ROVER is our number, 866-967-6837. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
You can ask your smart device to play Rover's Morning Glory on iHeartRadio. This is MMS. Rover's Morning Glory. The toughest morning show in the world. But only because all the others are overweight old guys in Hawaiian shirts. Whoa. We're back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The Shizzy is coming up. The news. Doozy, are you ready for a supersized Shizzy?
Yeah, sure.
Here we go.
Here to Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
So in Munich, there was some breaking news earlier, but then we kind of got off topic and we went into this police shooting. But I had teased this.
School shooting.
Yes, this three people have been injured in an explosion near a busy train station in Munich. That's why I had asked you if you had been over there. Recently, but it's been a couple of years. No. So it was an explosion occurred.
But I don't think it was a terrorist attack. I think it was construction, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Construction explosion. Yes. I don't know how that happens exactly, but yes, Jeffrey, what is it?
When we were in Munich, there's been a lot of construction all over the city and whatnot, you know, especially the area around there, the central train station, which is about less than a block from the hotel we stayed at.
It was right there, right?
Yeah, we were just less than a block from the hotel. We were like a five-minute walk from the central train station to the hotel.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same train station that blew up or not, but if it was, it was right across the street from where my hotel, the one that I stayed at.
You stayed at a hotel like a little further down the street from us.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of construction?
I mean, there's construction. I mean, yeah, I've seen like their tent fence panels looks like chicken wire. Have that chicken wire pattern.
A lot of erections?
Funny, Dieter. Real funny, dude.
Go on.
Another shooting in Georgia. There was a field training police officer and two other people killed in just a wild shooting that happened in a residential neighborhood last night. So it started to unfold after police officers received reports of a woman and a young boy shot at two separate locations. And then after officers responded, a gunman opened fire on them, leading to this shootout. They said field training officer Henry Laxon was killed in the exchange of gunfire. They also named another officer, Alex Chandler, was also wounded. Two other victims died, and the gunman was also shot
dead. Where did this happen?
In Georgia.
You have some video.
Oh, all right.
More audio, but...
Yeah, this was... the audio of the shooting was captured on a Ring doorbell video, so you can hear what happened. That's scary.
Yeah. All right.
So they're still, everything's still unfolding and they're trying to figure out what exactly happened. So the most expensive cities in the world, top places to live. In third place, it ties with second place. Third place is Singapore. Have you ever been there?
Nope.
Second place is like your second home, Paris. For most expensive cities in the world. And the number one spot this year, I think it was in fifth place last year. It has catapulted to the top. Tel Aviv, Israel, as far as the most expensive city in the world to live.
By the way,
yo,
that explosion at the train station in Munich, it was not caused by construction. It was a bomb from World War II. Maybe they were doing construction and hit it or something.
Oh.
A bomb from World War II exploded. And injured four people.
Go.
That's not surprising heavy, because there's still probably a lot of unexploded or undetonated bombs from World War II dotted all over Europe, and some all someone has to do is just hit it, boom. So,
Huh.
Yeah, they say it's not uncommon to find bombs dating from World War II in Germany. Obviously, we were bombing the hell out of them.
In Japan, too, I bet.
Not, I mean, it could be all over Europe, too. I mean, like, so, and I don't know. Gotta remember, later on this week, we'll be commemorating the 80th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor that drew us into World War II.
Right.
It's a day that will...
live in infamy.
Thank you. Go on, Dougie.
Today is December 1st. A lot to look forward to. Obviously, the holidays and Christmas is coming up. A lot of big movies are on the way. We had talked about West Side Story. Also, Being the Ricardos, that's supposed to be pretty good with Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball. That and West Side Story also is released on December 10th. Spider-Man No Way Home comes out on the 17th. And then a fourth Matrix movie called Matrix Resurrections that hits theaters and HBO Max December 22nd. Also, now,
are you excited for that, Dieter?
Yeah,
I like the original Matrix. That was cool. The last one, not so great.
But the action, though, you can't deny. I love when they have like a thousand of those bad guys coming at him.
Yeah, but some of them, the plot was... The plot was great in the first one.
I'm already lost. In like two and three,
got too convoluted, didn't it?
But I'm just watching it for the action. And it's been a while since they've been out, so I'm looking forward to it. And it's HBO Max, so you can just watch it right at home.
I'm looking forward to that Sandra Bullock movie. I think it comes out on the 10th as well. I think it's Netflix, maybe? She plays a prisoner that gets released. I think she committed murder or something happened, and she's to now go out into the real world.
Dougie pays attention to movies like she does the news. Sandra Bullock, she's like
a woman,
and she like does something, and then she goes out, and like something happens.
Yeah,
and like I want to see that.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Speaking of TV, though, remember we were talking about Different Strokes coming doing the live?
Yes.
The other one's Facts of Life.
Yes.
And they announced the cast. I didn't know if you saw that.
I did see that. I wasn't going to do it because I figured Rover would yell at me.
Oh, but it's big stars.
Jennifer Aniston
as Blair
is going to be Blair. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Facts of Life?
I do. I remember that because it was on right by, wasn't it Different Strokes and Facts of Life were back to back?
Yeah.
Was there like a Tootie?
Yeah, who's Tootie? I honestly wasn't.
Remember that? And then wasn't that, what was the Joey or Joe?
Joe
was the more, female.
What?
She was like the kind of like the tomboy.
Butch.
Well, can you say that? That's what I didn't want to say.
Jeez,
tough. I don't have the other names.
I started watching Dope Sick, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
That is pretty good.
You like it?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to have to watch that.
I think I'm only two in. I'm on the third.
It's got his favorite guy in it, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, Michael Keaton, but it is still a good story about opioids and all, how that started.
Today is National Package Protection Day. Not your private parts, but actually packages. We had just done that story from FedEx earlier about that worker that dumped all hundreds of packages. Well, porch pirates can show up anywhere, and around 210 million packages have disappeared from porches across America over the last year. They say, in fact, 64% of Americans say they've had a package stolen this past year. Well, there's a website called Safewise.com. They have a list of the worst cities for package theft this year. Denver is number one for worst package theft.
All right.
People steal the stuff. They're the worst. Aaron Carter is in the news. He just walked out on the mother of his child, Melanie Martin, 1 week ago. One week ago, she gave birth to their son.
I only know that because B2 follows him on Instagram or her or something, and they're always... they're always arguing and fighting and making accusations against each other. And her nickname is Felony Melanie because she had some sort of felony. But what about it now?
Well, they just had a baby.
Uh-huh.
A week ago, she gave birth to their son, Prince Lyric. And TMZ is reporting that Aaron bailed once he discovered Melanie had been speaking with his twin sister, Angel Carter. The siblings have been back and forth in court for years. She sides with members of the Carter family who have considered a conservatorship for Aaron. So Aaron didn't like that. So yesterday he issued a weird statement saying, Melanie has been lying to me. She knew my boundaries, especially not to speak to a certain half of my family that tried to depict me as a crazy, psychotic human being.
He is crazy. He is psychotic. He is a complete lunatic. And it is interesting that Britney Spears was under that conservatorship for so long. This guy's out there doing wild, weird-ass stuff. In fact, B2 told me that... He said something about being a pedophile. B2 told me that Aaron Carter was texting with an underage girl. And she goes, I don't know how this guy's not in jail. Like, he was knowingly texting, sexting, doing something, I guess, with an underage girl. And I think was like, don't tell anyone because I could really get in a lot of trouble because you're so young. And she was just telling me this a while ago. And she's like, I don't understand how this guy, how can you get away with that?
Wasn't he the Carter that was here in studio? He was here with us, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he has, obviously, Britney Spears money. There's no not even close. There's nothing that he has no to money. Put into conservatorship. You know, so.
No, they just need to lock his ass up. They need to.
I think the family's just like, we're done.
Send him to a mental hospital.
Yeah, we're done. There you go. That's a Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Just a Gamer says, Dougie never said who the rest of the people are in Facts of Life, just the live version, just Jennifer Aniston, and then she stopped.
I said I didn't have the story because I know Rover doesn't care.
Do you know Snitz?
Captain Han, she was in that Disney thing, the Marvel, I forgot what it's called. She plays Joe. I don't know. I know Mrs. Garrett is the older lady from a Hulu show. I'm like, I got half the story. I don't know
any of the people actually, other than Jennifer Aniston. That when I read this story, I'm like, okay, he's not going to know who any of these people are.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Gabriel Union.
Charlotte Ray was in both The Facts of Life and Different Strokes playing the same character.
Yes.
In Different Strokes, she was like the housekeeper. In Facts of Life, she was like the matriarch of the...
It's a spinoff, yeah.
Yeah, the spinoff. So.
Okay, so...
Mrs. Garrett.
Okay. Jennifer Aniston will be Blair. Gabrielle Union will play Tootie. We know who that is. You know Gabrielle Union. Catherine Hahn will play Joe. And then Allison Tolman is Natalie. And then Ann Dowd will be...
You were right. I don't care at all.
Sorry, okay.
Snitz, bad story.
Sorry about that.
No, I was into it too.
I'm excited about the Jennifer Aniston thing.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
I've got to take a break. Someone is worried, and I actually thought about this. So, Dom has COVID
for the third time. You said
that's you said it. I didn't say that.
You said this morning.
I did hear you say
and
that.
I go, oh, I didn't actually count, but.
B1 has COVID, he says. She's positive. Second time for her. Okay. And then his mother.
Yeah.
I think it has COVID as well. I would be more concerned about her because she's, you know, she's older than Dom and B1. So I hope, I don't know how she's doing. I hope she's doing all right because that's who I would be most worried about. But I did think about this with Dom. He called me on Friday and he said that he had tested positive for COVID. And he said he realized because he couldn't smell something and he couldn't taste something.
His coffee.
Now, think about this. Dom is a super taster. Dom has taste buds. We've done multiple tests here in the studio. He can taste the different color of M&Ms or no, can he do it? I think he did M&Ms too, right? M&Ms and Lucky Charms marshmallows, the different colors of those.
And we sanded down the marshmallows so that he couldn't tell one was the pot of gold or the rainbow or whatever.
The most recent one we tested was, could he determine a difference between Pringles that come from a small can and Pringles that come from a big can? He, I believe, if I remember correctly, he was indeed able to tell the difference. Am I misremembering
this? No, that was it. And I think also Doritos from a big bag and Doritos from a small bag, too. Yep.
He was able to taste the difference. I don't know if it's the concentration and who knows how much air is in there. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. But for years, we've known he is a super taster. In fact, he's surprised that we're not able to discern as many tastes as he can. is that ability. That's his one claim to fame. I even had an offer from a sommelier, I don't know how you pronounce that, the wine expert, to at a French restaurant here, wanted to train Dom to become a sommelier.
Did you ever tell him this?
We did on the air, I thought you told him.
I don't remember this.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I don't remember if I told him
that. It was off air or not, but I think he knows.
Yeah.
Well, so Dumb's one ability, his claim to fame.
Only good thing.
Dumb can be bad luck at gambling, bad luck with dating, bad luck with in love, bad luck with money, bad luck with jobs.
Personality, yeah.
But the one thing he can hang his hat on, he's a super taster.
Yeah.
He can out-taste anyone in the world. Has that been stripped from him now? Where is it? Is life even worth living if that's the one thing you have, your claim to fame, and now it's gone?
He's cursed.
Wouldn't that be his luck?
Right. The one thing he has, it's taken away from him.
Yes, Jeffrey, you're hovering.
I think the word you're struggling with is a person called a sommelier. I believe that's a person that is able to discern different wines, like whether it be a white wine, a red wine, or Zinfandel, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. What about a brandy? Really.
Say what?
What about brandy? Is brandy a wine?
Brandy is more of a liquor. It's more of like a liquor.
Is it? I thought it was. Well, maybe it's sherry. I'm thinking of sherry.
Sherry be like a wine because you use that for cooking.
Sherry, which is better? Do you like sherry or brandy?
Sherry, these nuts on your mama's face.
No, how did you screw that up? Why did you pull the trigger?
You got it with the brandy.
You go, oh, brandy's good. Idiot.
Jeffrey had two choices.
Oh, brandy's nuts on your mama's face too.
Sherry, these nuts.
Sherry.
Oh, God. Jeez, both of you.
It's hard to take Jeffrey seriously today with his aviators
so
on.
Looking.
He kind of looks like the Puna bomber.
Yes, they're so huge on his head. They're so massive.
I actually
looks
like
great.
Them.
I like how it looks.
Awesome. I actually, that's a good look. You should just wear those all the time.
Well, I have to wear my, there's a problem.
Why don't you get prescription
ones? I have to wear my regular glasses.
Why don't you get prescription aviators?
Yeah, you don't wear your glasses anyway.
I started wearing glasses when I was 17.
But you don't wear them anymore. You tuck them in your shirt. So why do you even? Why not wear the aviators?
No, I just did this to look good on RMGT.
Could you get transitions aviators? Because his regular glasses are transitions. So he walks outside, they go dark.
Yeah.
How handy is that? You never need sunglasses. and then when you come inside, you have to wait 5 minutes before you can see because your
looks cool because you're kind of tempted.
So could you get transitions aviators?
I'm quite sure a lot of optical places do carry this style, but it's kind of like passe nowadays. The only reason why I got aviator glasses when I started wearing glasses when I was 17 was because that was right around the time Top Gun came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out now. The sequel.
The new one. Yeah. They're going to be back in style for sure.
Perfect timing.
No doubt about it.
What have you been concerned with style?
I don't know, Charlie. I just think when I was wearing, there's an old picture of myself on my Instagram when I was about 17 wearing my original pair of glasses I had at the time. And you can tell I looked more like a white version of Steve Urkel.
Well, this is a look. That look suits you perfectly, the aviators. I love it. You look, people probably, there's Jeffrey, a picture of him from, how old are you, 17? Look
about,
at this.
Yeah, I was about 17 at the
look
time.
Look at that guy. Look how young he is. Look how happy he is.
Does he have pepper?
Smiling.
Pepper in his teeth?
No. That's a gap.
That's a black and white picture, dude.
No, but do you have a gap in your teeth? Or
no.
Was that
no, I think just that's something. A piece of pepper. He just, that's at lunch.
That's why he's happy.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that was a good lunch.
Might just be his gum growing down his front.
No,
it looks great.
It's pepper.
Do you have a gap in between your front teeth? Go like this. Does he have a gap? Charlie, can you take
a look? Millimeter gap between my front teeth?
No, open your top lip. No, not at all. There's no gap.
It's
just plaster covers the gap.
All right, yeah.
Funny.
All right, I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to L.A. in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.
And podcasts, all in one. Rover's Morning Glory is on your smart device. Tell it to play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio. Rover's Morning Glory, like an amusement park full of mustache rides. Hop on, honey. We're back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Riled up over the dumbest things. Here's someone who's upset that they can't believe I named a minor on the show. The when? School shooter in Michigan. His name is Ethan Crumbly.
Did you really name a minor on the radio? Yeah, he shot up a school. Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold. Ever hear of them? They were also minors, and you know their name.
Get the hell out of here. What's wrong with people? Oh, I'm sorry.
The news never names a kid?
They will name him, I guarantee you. They may not have named him yet, but they will name him. They'll name him today, Dieter. Mark my words.
The renaming the stadium petition is at 44,000. They need to hit 50,000. Just to give you an update.
No. When it hits 50,000, then it says, help us reach our goal of 75,000. It's just...
Wait, so the school right now said they came out, Dieter, and they said, we will not do this unless it reaches 50,000?
That's what it says.
That's what the school is concerned about right now.
They're at 44,000. Right. And I looked through their names. Jeffrey did sign it. Jeffrey LaRoque.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay.
And his email, so...
Perfect. J.LaRoque @att.net.
No, it wasn't me. I think
it's your email. I never signed no petition.
How do people know your email, j.laroque@att.net?
I have no idea, dude, but I don't remember signing no petition. So.
Speaking of naming people, I did do a little bit of research, and this is a little bit odd to me. We don't, and I don't have an issue with this, they don't name sexual assault victims and sometimes domestic violence victims and so on and so forth. In many cases, they don't. The media doesn't print their names. But your favorite trial is going on right now.
Mine?
Yeah, the Ghislaine Maxwell, you pronounce her name. The Jeffrey Epstein associate. That trial is going on right now. So they have Jeffrey Epstein's private pilot, the pilot of the Lolita Express, took the stand this week, yesterday, and he revealed the celebrities that have flown on the Lolita Express.
Bill Clinton.
Knew about Bill Clinton,
many times.
No, I think just one time.
No. But
Bill Clinton was on there on a charity trip to Africa, and in fact, the woman who is accusing Jeffrey Epstein, who's photographed with Bill Clinton.
Massaging him, that one?
Yep, that one.
Reach around? Yep. Yeah.
She says that Bill Clinton was nothing but a gentleman on the trip and nothing improper happened.
You don't want to be on the body count list. They'll kill you if you talk
Clinton
bad about it.
Body count?
Yeah, look it up.
You know who else it came out? It was revealed yesterday. Who else has taken a little ride on the Lolita Express?
Kevin Spacey, I saw that.
Kevin Spacey, he's on there. Yeah, but who else? Who? What new name popped up yesterday?
Obama was on that.
No, that's wrong.
Who
president.
Else? I had the list.
You're thinking of the wrong president. What other president showed up on the Lolita Express? Oh, Donald J. Trump. He was on the Lolita Express.
That's been known. Yeah.
That has not been known.
It was a charity case.
No, the pilot just said, but the pilot also says, so it's a witness for the prosecution against Ghislaine. How do you pronounce her name? I should know that. I saw the Epstein documentary, but it was a while ago. I don't remember how you pronounce her weird ass name, but.
I thought it was like Ghislaine.
Well, she's on trial now for supposedly getting these girls for Jeffrey Epstein, And the pilot is a prosecution witness, although from what I read, they go, his testimony actually kind of helped the defendant, Maxwell, because he never saw anything, never saw any sexual activity, never saw any illegal activity, never saw anything on these plane trips, these thousands of plane trips that he took. He said, I never saw anyone having sex, no sexual activity, nudity, underage stuff. I never...
While he's piloting the plane.
Right.
Did they ever leave the cockpit?
You know, I'm guessing there were two pilots, and I was just on a long flight a couple months ago, and the pilot, I think there were three pilots in the cockpit, I think. It was weird because they had this little fold-down seat. Like, you know how the two pilots are in the, you know, like, you see them?
Yeah.
There was a little fold-down seat, and there was a guy just crammed in there in the middle. It was
a jump seat?
Never saw that before. It's just in the middle.
Who was he?
Another pilot.
Oh, another pilot? Okay.
And then I saw him leave, and they were in a little curtained-off seat. And it was a long flight. They would go back there and sleep.
Mm.
Anyhow, so I don't know. I'm sure he probably left at some point, I would imagine, but who knows? Anyhow, there was another. Maybe you knew this. I didn't know this. I had to do a little research because I was, and I won't name her, but I had to do a little research. It's very easy to find.
Is she a minor?
I don't even know. Well, not now. I don't even know why, because it is out there, but they're referring to the first accuser now who is testifying in this case. Jane is her pseudonym. And she says that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell met her in, she was from Palm Beach, Florida, but she happened to be at camp when she was like 14 or something in Michigan. And she was eating ice cream with her friends, and they came up to her, started talking to her, so on and so forth. And eventually she says that she was molested by Jeffrey Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell was doing orgies. And while Epstein was doing things to her, to the underage girl, Ghislaine Maxwell was straddling Jeffrey Epstein's face.
Oh.
Like, you know, naked and twerking his nipples. He loved that, apparently. The harder you could twist his nipples, the better, according to her testimony.
It's weird.
Yeah, you think?
So wait, Epstein's laying down.
Yeah.
Maxwell's
straddling his face.
Right, yep. And then where's the girl?
I think the girl's having sex with Epstein.
Oh, okay.
I think. Then the defense attorney gets up there and goes, so it's weird, like, they're not televising this trial, but...
I wish they were.
They are, like, reading the stuff, you go, oh my God, well, there's no way out of this. But then you get to the defense, and the defense starts questioning the woman, and you're like, oh, well, hey, the defense gets up there and goes, okay, so hold on. You say that this what happened from this time to this time, so on and so forth. Epstein was arrested, got out of jail, arrested again, so on and so forth. When he was arrested and he was in jail, you never actually told investigators, you never made these claims about Epstein until after he was dead. And money was involved. And she's like, yeah. And in all of your reports to the police and whatnot, and you said this and you said that, you ever bring up Ghislaine Maxwell? No. Oh, but now she was involved in all these orgies. I would say that probably this Maxwell is, look, if it was one person making these claims, you'd go, oh, maybe they're out for the money, but. And maybe she is. Maybe this particular accuser might be out for money, for all we know, because she didn't do anything until after Epstein died, and there was a bunch of money on the table. Maybe the defense attorney is right. I don't know, but I think obviously, I would assume that this Maxwell woman knew what was going on and was helping out, maybe participating, right? I
mean, yes,
I don't think there's any.
Yeah.
But, you know, as with all trials, we'll wait and see how the facts play out. But the reason I brought that up is this accuser, her name is Jane. Well, that's not her real name. That's her anonymous name. And the pilot testified, I think, before the accuser took the stand, I think. The pilot, they asked, do you remember this girl being on the plane? He's like, oh, yeah, I remember piercing blue eyes. And they're like, what about Iraq? And I'm paraphrasing. I think the pilot, he didn't know quite exactly. He's like, well, let's just say she was a very mature woman. And I think his quote was, nothing underage about her, something along those lines.
Sounds creepy.
Wow.
So I'm reading this, and then I read in this article that the defense attorney is like, why didn't you come forward? Well, you know, you're doing all this. She's like, well, I work in the entertainment industry. And I go, I wonder what she does. And then the defense attorney's like, you're an actress, and you are used to lying and playing games and being phony and making people believe stuff and telling sob stories and so on and so forth. And I'm like, she must be some sort of no-name actress, right, that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
She's been on Days of Our Lives for 20 years.
Oh, wow. What's her name? This woman.
I forget. I'd never heard of her before. But you can find her immediately. Probably just search Days of Our Lives Epstein. And you could find the woman. But yeah, I did once I saw that, I go, then my curiosity was piqued and I did a Google search and I immediately found it. The Daily Mail, Dieter's favorite publication, had published something a year or two ago where they actually named this woman, where now no one is naming this woman, but, you know, it's out there. It's like, it's the articles are still up. So what do you think is going to happen in that trial, Dieter?
Well, because Epstein was killed, she's got to take the fall for all this. She's going to take all the heat.
Yeah.
Everything's going to come down on her. They got to make someone's got to be the scapegoat.
Why haven't they killed her yet?
I think because of the protection. Oh. They obviously wanted to, but she was protected right away.
And I also saw a big conspiracy, like, why are there no cameras allowed?
Right.
I think what's going on? Isn't it federal court, right? There are never cameras in there.
Really?
Charlie, I don't think so. I know you don't, but you're
no, I just know. I know that.
Turning into a conspiracy theorist?
I saw a lot of people saying that. And I was like, I don't think there's ever cameras in federal court. And if you look it up, but why is James Comey's daughter the prosecutor?
God, Charlie.
Jeez, you're grilling me now, Charlie.
Think about that.
And the first day of the trial, the Twitter CEO stepped down.
Ooh.
Oh,
the Walmart CEO stepped down.
Oh, yeah, really?
The CNBC CEO stepped down on the first day.
I saw that too, and the Walmart CFO is going to step down in 3 years.
Okay,
yeah, but it's not now.
So it's not the CEO. And it's the CFO.
There is no CEO of CNBC, so that's just made up.
What about the other two? How about Twitter and Walmart? That's confirmed.
So I just said the Walmart guy is a CFO,
chief financial officer, and he's stepping down in 3 years.
Yes,
still in the job for 3 years.
CEO, not CFO.
Yeah, you're reading a tweet that was going viral. I know. I saw the tweet yesterday, and I said, that seems suspicious because that is weird.
Well, hold on. Is James Comey's daughter the prosecutor?
Yes.
Okay. Is that what her job? She is a prosecutor? She's a federal prosecutor?
She's never prosecuted ever before. She was just a kindergarten teacher before that. No, of course she's a prosecutor.
Okay. So it just so happens she comes from like a legal family. Yeah. And okay, all right. So that's completely normal. Kind of like how Trump's sister was a federal judge.
Yeah. Ooh. That's interesting. Dieter, what info are you finding on the CEO of Walmart?
He's stepping down. Walmart's Brett Biggs stepping down.
And so, when?
It says to step down as CFO. But the New York City chief medical examiner, she's resigning. And she was one in charge of telling how Epstein died. How fishy is that? How come all these people are stepping down? Right when the trial starts.
I don't think it has anything to do with the trial. People stepped down. People stepped down. Last week, people stepped down, Dieter. And the week before that, people resigned and stepped down.
You can't name any. I just named four people.
And no one's like, oh, it has to do with whatever. I mean, this is just an everyday. I don't think the CFO of Walmart was like, hey, I'm going to announce my resignation and I'm going to be stepping down 3 years from now. Maybe I should worry about what's happening in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. I don't think it factors into their thinking. So do you believe that she's going to be found guilty almost regardless? Like, it doesn't matter what kind of defense she mounts because people hate Epstein so much, and I think they're gonna pile on her, right?
Somebody has to pay the price. Yeah, they already killed Epstein. If she even lives, I mean, let's see if she even makes it through this entire thing.
Think she was in on it?
Yes,
I think so too.
He needed
help getting these girls.
Yes,
you know, the guy was a pedo.
It is crazy. Like, when you hear these stories, you go, how could you get away with that for that long?
Money. This
poor girl.
He had so much money. He had it down how they would do this, how they would get these girls.
Yeah, she said that first victim, the first accuser says she was 14 and she had never had any sort of sexual experience or anything prior to this. She said she'd never seen a penis before. And then she's over at Jeffrey Epstein's house and then sits down on the couch. He sits down next to her and then just whips it out and masturbates onto her. Just out of the blue.
That makes me sick.
Like, huh, what? Although the defense attorney then did say, okay, so this happened once. Then what happened? And she's like, well, I came back 2 weeks later. And
why would you go back?
She continued coming back.
Money.
Every 2 weeks for like 3 years, Dieter.
Why would you go back?
I think, like Doogie said, for money, I guess.
Yeah, they need the money, or they're in situations where they maybe are vulnerable. They don't have family members that are really present. I don't know. But something caused her to go back.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll keep on top of that trial, every twist and turn, because Dieter is really into all the Epstein conspiracy theories and whatnot. The Aftermath starts on RMG Plus in just a few minutes. If you don't subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen live. They'll get started in just a few minutes. Jeffrey, you're going to be on The Aftermath today. You said you might come in yesterday. What happened? Because Dumb is out with COVID, so you told your buddy Charlie you might come in and help out.
He said probably.
I had work to do in my fence company, so I couldn't get out of it. So
now, Jeffrey, you are going. Are you planning to do your walk to work?
Jeffrey L. LaRoque pre-diabetes pre-memorial walk to work.
Okay. And you're planning to do that on Friday?
Yeah.
Now, what time are you planning to do this?
Well, normally, the last two times I've done it, I would leave my house early, you know, so I get here in time for the start of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, why not do it when you guys hit the airwaves so that you can call me and get updates as I'm on my progress?
I think that's a much better idea.
He has to be safe. We have to be safe about this. I don't think any way
of doing it is safe. It's insane. He walks to work. I don't know why he does it. He walks to work and he leaves at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black. You're going to get mugged. You're going to get killed. You're going to get hit by a car.
Don't do all of those. Why does he need to do it then?
Well, he wants
it's tradition
to.
Now.
It's his. I'm not telling him to do it. It's his. He likes to raise awareness
of pre-diabetes.
yeah.
No, so, the whole genesis of this whole thing was I was kind of lackluster and looking for a car. Charlie was, you know, giving me a ride soon from work, which I do appreciate. And at one time on The Aftermath, and the late Jeffrey Hadzinski was a witness to this.
Who? NADS.
Oh, okay. You could just say NADS.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The name so everyone has known him by for the past 8 years.
Right.
Okay.
And I just and I said.
And then okay, what did Mike Toomey say?
Well, she might. Well, my wife actually refers to you guys.
You're married to Mike Toomey, which is interesting. You want to talk about conspiracy theories, Dieter? Because I have a picture. Someone found Charlie's burner Instagram account. You know, people send in pictures of Charlie all the time, and they go, "I know, I saw Charlie. He has a burner account. He's using this to hook up with people on Instagram." Here's the photo right here. There it is.
Yeah. They got the rainbow background.
Yeah.
Glasses. Like we said, anyone with glasses. That is
dead ringer.
Charlie, could you tilt your, you look right into that camera and just sort of tilt your head like that, Charlie. There you go. That's him. It's a perfect match. And now we've discovered that indeed Jeffrey is married to Mike Toomey. You might know him as Charlie.
Thanks.
But we're throwing all sorts of weird names out now.
Anyway,
yes.
As I was saying, and I said to myself, okay, one of these days I'll walk to work. And one of these days, and then one day came by, kept bugging me about it. So I just, one day I just got up and walked to work.
Just walked to work randomly. Didn't tell us that he was going to,
He just came to work.
Walked into work.
Windburned.
Yeah, windburned. Because it was like 5 degrees. And he's just, his face is red. His eyeballs are frozen out.
Yes.
We go, what happened to you? I walked to work.
No, you asked me I think Dieter asked me where was my car, and I said it's at home, and I go, well, how'd you get here? And I just said, I walked, just like that.
Yes,
I walked. Well, he plans to do this on Friday.
He said he's going to leave at 4, so he's hoping to get here.
About 8 o'clock, 8:30.
8:30.
Is that how long it takes?
Yeah, yeah. Forever. It's 11 miles. God.
The show's going to be over.
Why not leave at 5 when it's a little bit lighter and it's probably safer? And then,
oh, then you'll get here by the time the leftovers are on?
Yeah. Well, no, by the end of the show. As long as you get here by the end of the show.
I don't plan on missing the show. I mean, I'll miss half the show getting here, so I'll
We could just call you the whole time. Why don't you just wait till it's light out?
No, I would stick to my original plan, dude. I want to be at least halfway to the radio station when you guys hit the airwaves.
Can you wear a reflective vest or something?
Oh, yeah. He needs to do all of that.
Like,
yeah,
reflective? Maybe the
should be
headlamp on?
Or could you borrow Mary Elizabeth's light-up shoes? You know, the ones that blink every time you take a step?
Yeah, it's size 3.
Let's just say those shoes are way too small for me. I wear
Cut
like
your toes out. Cut the end out so your toes can stick out.
No, Mary Elizabeth would never let that happen. Those are her favorite shoes.
it's that.
Always have been.
What size
are those
shoes
called?
She's like a size 3.
Okay.
What are those? There's a name for those. What are those?
LA Lights?
No.
The ones that light up? The Skechers that light up?
No, they're not Skechers. I forget what they're called. They have an actual name, but people would know them if you don't know what I'm talking about. Light up.
She wore those on our Germany trip.
That is true. I remember walking through Munich following and people like, you know, you turn, it's just not something you see every day, an adult wearing those shoes.
So, Rover, I got a question for you, though. When are you going to attempt to walk 26 miles? Because you said that you could do that. I was just kind of wondering about that.
Yeah. It's a shame the show's over. You got to go.
I'm gonna wait until it gets below zero,
yes,
actually.
Yes, he loves the cold.
Yeah, that's fine.
It doesn't matter. I just thought I'd ask, because you did say, you and Charlie argued over this, that you could actually walk the distance of a marathon. I know I couldn't do it.
You could do it more than Rover.
I think you could in the springtime when the weather is decent. How many miles is it from your house to here?
My house to here is 11.6.
So it's halfway right there.
That's half.
That's less than half a marathon.
How about this?
26 miles.
Why don't we do this?
13 plus 13 is 26.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just, when Jeffrey gets here, on his it's the Jeffrey Allen LaRocque, what is it? J-A-L?
Jeffrey, it's right here. Jeffrey
J-A-L-R.
L-A-R. Pre-diabetes.
P-D.
Pre-memorial.
P-M.
Walk.
W. To W. Okay. So when he gets here, after walking approximately 12 miles, why don't we just send him back home?
Oh, okay.
It's a full marathon.
Yeah, and then we can see.
Well, here's the problem, though. I have to work at my fence company on Friday.
Well, then you just, I'll just get home there. And then walk to your fence company, Joe.
No, by that time, it'll be 4:30.
Wait, you're going to work at your fence company after walking to work?
Yeah.
How are you going to get there?
Power through the day, dude.
He is immune to
pain,
being tired, like anything like that.
He's a machine.
You could tell him, if you said, Jeffrey, we have to walk 40 miles through the Sahara Desert, he'd go, okay. Yeah. And it would not even faze him.
And no water either.
No, the whole time I'd be like, oh my God, I'm dying. Oh, it's so hot. He would just...
I hate water. Who wants water at this moment?
How is he going to get to work if he walked here?
I'll drop Uber.
You're going to Uber from here to your fence
Gina
company?
I'll drop you off.
All right. It's past 10 o'clock. Can't do that. I got to wrap it up. The aftermath starts in a few minutes on RMG Plus. If you don't subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen live. We'll be back tomorrow morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. Bye.
Morning Glory.
Your last chance to get to LA in a few weeks for our Alter Ego Festival. I'll have a trip to give away 5:30 every day this week.